Coming up on TMS, some phone calls just can't be explained.
Scott's neighbor might be Clark Griswold.
I'm pretty sure. Don't you dare kiss your classmate.
Aw, 20 years of doom is upon us.
Joan Jett does not like SeaWorld very much.
Oh, no, but she likes rock and roll. Sandler makes way too much money, apparently.
Recommendals.
Tom's Tech Time.
Geek Food and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Now our star, William Conrad.
Thank you, George. You know, I'd like to pass on an idea that will help you with your Christmas shopping. Go down your list and check all the filter tip smokers, and then buy them all gift cartons of L&M's. They'll appreciate it because L&M is best, stands out from all the rest. And L&M sure make a beautiful gift in their handsome holiday carton, king size or regular. L&M, America's best filter tip cigarette.
Hole and Bush are both back.
This is The Morning Stream. Hold on to your butts.
All right, let me clarify that. One quick clarification. It was Hole and Bush are both bad. I was talking about the bands.
Oh.
I just want to clear that up. Because there was some confusion, which is why we captured it.
I think you were saying they're bad band names. They're not bad bands.
No, they're okay. They have their moments.
Yeah.
Well, are they, though? Are they not bad bands?
They're not bad bands.
Hole and Bush.
Hole and Bush?
Yeah.
You like Bush.
Well, do
you
I?
Like, you like...
Do I like him?
Gavin Rossdale.
Do I?
Don't you?
Do I prefer his wife? I think I do. Wait, is that that's his wife? What's her name?
That's Gwen Stefani.
Gwen Stefani, yeah, she doesn't age.
Yes.
She's ageless. That Gwen Stefani.
Yes, she is.
She's an odd duck. Hey, everybody, welcome back. It's The Morning Stream. It's Wednesday, December 11th, 2013. Never forget, December 11th. Oh, wait, that just sounds familiar. It's not the same month where we had that big problem. Never mind, that's September 11th. Hey, what's going on? It's Wednesday, and we're hurtling, Brian, literally hurtling toward Christmas. Mm-hmm. Too fast, too quick. Yeah. I don't like it.
Ooh, hey, in the UK, they would write today as 11, 12, 13.
Why would they do that? Oh, because
they
put
the day, the month, and then the year.
Because they're backwards with stuff like that. Right.
Yeah.
They're weird. They do space points for their measurements, and they have backwards dates. That's fantastic.
Right. Happy 11, 12, 13, governor.
Oh, hello. You know, you'd think with a number like that, which happens so infrequently, like when's the next time they even get that? Oh my gosh.
January. Oh no, let's see here.
Be 1, 2, 3. So it needs to be 12. 1, 2.
They won't get that. Okay, right. Cause there's no 13th month. So.
Yeah. So 3003, or I guess they could do 2000. No, wait. No, they're done. Yeah. They're done for another 1,000 years. Think about that.
No, 100 years.
Wait, 100 years.
They'll get another set of numbers in 100 years.
Oh, right, 2103. Got it. Okay,
2103.
Okay, but still 100 years, Brian.
90 years. It's 100 years. 90 years.
90 years away. There's got it. Someone has to be born today and live to 90 to see that happen.
To see it both times.
Think about that. So we should be celebrating it. That's fantastic. My gosh. And when do we get one of these? We don't see it because ours is flipped. We had one.
Yeah, ours would have been in November 11, 12, 13.
So how did we celebrate that? By some video game release date or something dumb like that?
We would have done a show. We would have celebrated by doing a show on November 12th.
Wow, that is underwhelming.
Right after BlizzCon, I think.
Was it? Okay. I don't even remember. That's how sad that is. We should remember these things. Whatever. They're artificial constructs. Human beings came up with this idea to put numbers to everything. You know that, right? That's how it works.
Yeah, we have to number. Everything has to be numbered.
Bunch
of top 10 list. Got to have a top 10 list.
Every time, everything. It's how we roll.
HTML ordered list.
I think Jester's right. It was the Battlefield 4 release date, and that'll also be next year. It'll be their court date for all the class action lawsuits about why that game is so broken in 50 ways.
Oh, really?
Yeah, kinds of problems.
Oh, bummer. I've been so focused on Killzone, I haven't played it, but it's next on my next in the stack.
Bunch of issues, bunch of problems, all platforms affected, including the PC flagship version. It's just a mess. Big problems. So I don't know what the hell those guys are doing, but they'll work it out, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they'll figure it out.
Hey, I got something to share today.
You got something to say?
Got a little something. Little piece of something.
Burn out?
Yeah. Well, here's the deal. You know how you get that phone call, the Hey Burnham call?
Yes.
And we've had people try to, you know,
try to decipher it. Yeah. For the, that it's Korean or something.
Their, I think was the most recent. Vietnamese, I think, was the deal. Was the last one I heard.
I think that's right.
Or as my sister would have said, Vietnamese. So, not Wendy, one of my other sisters. So I'm going to play. Here's that.
Hi, Burnham.
Hey, Burnham. We don't know what that is still. Still a bit weird and still a little mysterious. Occasionally, you and I will get calls like this. I got one on my phone.
Okay.
And I noticed when it was ringing. And I don't know about you, but if it's a number I don't recognize or from a place, there's no way somebody should be calling you from there.
Yeah.
Voicemail. Not interested in picking it up. Right? Yeah. So I'll check.
I send probably a good 3/4 of my phone calls to voicemail.
Yeah. Even ones you know.
It's like, even ones I know. Yeah. It's like, oh, I'm right in the middle of something. I don't want to, I don't want to break my stride, my momentum.
Yeah. Totally know you're, it's like me in the midday. If I'm super busy and I get a phone call from my mother-in-law, I'm like, no. I mean, occasionally I'll get I get a little ping of worriedness going, what if this is her calling saying, I've had a stroke and I can't feel my left leg and there's something I could do to help her or something.
Sure.
But nonetheless and notwithstanding, I ignore those calls. So anyway, I checked the voicemail and it's from Omaha, Nebraska.
Okay.
I didn't solicit this call and I'm still not sure what the hell's going on here. So I'm going to play this. I recorded this off my phone. I don't know how the sound quality holds up, but we'll find out here. You guys can help me decipher this, okay? So here it is, right here.
Hi, my name's Aaron. I'm a business consultant calling from PayPal. Please return my call. The number is 645731. I'm available Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. till 4:30 p.m. Central. Look forward to speaking to you soon.
Okay.
So there's a guy named Aaron. He's a business something from PayPal.
Was it PayPal? Was it?
Yeah.
Okay, let's try it again.
Hi, my name's Aaron. I'm a business consultant calling from PayPal. Please return
my
call.
Oh, that's from PayPal.
Yeah, business consultant from PayPal. my name's Aaron Boomhauer. Sorry,
oh, interesting. Okay, and I cut that number's not the whole number.
5731.
I cut it in pieces, but what is okay? Well, it's making more sense now. But now I wonder. Anytime I get anything from something claiming to be PayPal, I feel like it's a little
sure,
a little suspect, a little scandalous because. You know, they're fishing. They're looking for ways to snag your account and stuff. And I do a lot of PayPal work, so I figure, you know, you got to be careful. Better to be careful than not. I guess they have my number.
They got your number.
But they shouldn't be allowed to be doing that, right? I mean.
Well, I don't know. I think so. There's this first level of PayPal. It's like Dante's Inferno, the first level of hell. So first level of PayPal is the guy who... You know, who basically signs up for an account and he has to do it because he wants to buy something from some website. All right. So that's your first level.
Yeah.
Then your second level is the guy who signs up as a way to kind of send money to his parents or, you know, to his kids or something like that.
Sure.
And then you go down the list and you've got, you know, the person starting a little online business or just selling a couple things. And then you come down to folks like us.
All right.
Like you and I who sell a lot of stuff online.
Sure.
We use PayPal as our payment gateway.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking at saying, all right, well, let's see if we can push them to the next level, which isn't even on the website, which is some sort of business, you know, using PayPal as some sort of business strategy, marketing, hoo-ha, whatever. And that you only get invited to via phone by a business consultant named Aaron.
But I don't want to be that guy. That's the one I don't want. I don't want. Oh, hold on. There's one piece of the file I didn't play. I'm sorry. This is the tail end right here.
Penile implant.
And that's now I'm really worried.
Oh, well, okay. So now there's apparently a sixth level.
Okay. Where Aaron changes his voice.
That's actually Peen Pal is what that place is called. It's
that's probably a site.
Yeah.
It's probably a thing.
It probably is.
Yeah. That's what I think. Anyway, I just thought it was a little odd, and I'm not sure I'm calling Aaron back because I just don't like that kind of solicitation. Bothers me.
Sure. Would you rather have it via email? I imagine you'd get an email like this, and it would immediately go to the trash.
Both. Yeah. Like I don't feel like he's got anything really to offer me.
Right. Exactly. You're getting everything you need right now from PayPal.
There's no hidden thing that I'm not getting. It's not like you could be earning. I mean, if they came back and said, hey, guess what? You're at a level where you could be earning an extra $20 a day and just free money. Well, fine. Tell me about that. But they're not going to do that. If anything, they're going to figure out a way to get another percentage out of my every transaction I do. So, no, I think, is the answer. I think I'm not talking to Aaron. I think I'm done with that guy. I think he and I are finished.
Hi, my name's Aaron. I'm a business consultant.
Hank Hill lives up the street from me. All right. No more Boomhauer jokes, we promise. You're not Boomhauer.
I don't know.
Maybe a little bit.
Yeah, we could do that for hours here.
We could. Effectively, we kind of do. All right. So last night, Kim does a thing every year where she gets the this kind of kills me. And don't tell her when she comes on today that I'm making fun of this. But
Okay.
So I'm just telling you the secret here. Nobody can hear us, right? It's just you and I.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Okay. So my wife every year does neighbor gifts, which is fine. That's great. Uh-huh. It's wonderful. Sure. It's a great, and especially we just moved, so we're ingratiating ourselves with people we don't know yet and offering a hello. And we went out in the thick of the cold. It was freezing. Aww. It was like 9 degrees. And me and the kids.
Delivered presents.
Yeah, wow. The dog went with us until her feet hurt, and then I carried her because she was so cold.
This is the dog that's going to be pooping on your lawn this spring.
Yeah.
Are there any places you'd like her to really dump?
Because we can work. We have ways of making that happen. So I walked around. And people are really appreciative and kind of surprised, like, oh, well, that's wonderful. And, they're all excited. And my problem, the part I was being secretive about, is every year she has to do one of those, like, word things. Like, people make a poster board with candy bars on it. So it says things like, you always make me Snickers.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Your jokes, how's it go? Whatever. You're such a big hunk that I can't wait to do the Charleston with Chew scratched out with you on the dance floor.
I see what you're saying. Yes. So it's like one of these would be done for each neighbor with stuff glued to it.
Yes, with a little word. And this year she's doing
some glitter and Elmer's. And
exactly. Sure. And this one's like a hand sanitizer soap kind of dispenser thing full of like festive soap. And that's fine, but I can't remember what the thing says. Let's see. Do I have it? I might actually have this. Hold on. I'm going to read you what it says this year. It is not. Oh, yeah, there it is. Okay, so this kills me. So it's a hand. So it's soap. Okay, imagine a little sanitizer thing with a pump on the top, right? You understand?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Little tag on it says, "We wash you a Merry Christmas." And a happy new year.
Does it have a little picture of Wash from Firefly with some plastic dinosaurs glued to it?
Yeah, with a like a big giant metal beam through his chest. Yes, spoiler. So and it says Love the Johnsons at the bottom. So I hate that. I hate it so much because I just hate it. It's the least. It's like the lowest hanging possible fruit as far as like jokes and stuff go. So I hate that part of it, but I love the thought and the sentiment's fine and all that. So that's really not even part of this, but I wanted to get that off my chest.
Yeah.
Here's the important bit. We're walking around the neighborhood. Everybody's got a light sprinkling of lights here, a nice tree in the window there.
Sure.
Pretty conservative, Christmassy kind of business happening in the windows and on the outsides of this house. We round this corner, and I put a video up on Vine of this, round this corner to what looked like the Griswold house. Just the brightest. Gotcha. And music is going deep, 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 deep. Just playing
the outdoor speakers.
Yeah, and they're shaped like boulders. These speakers, they weren't like real speakers; they were rocks to blend in. And they've got huge candy canes that are just draped in stuff, and giant like reindeer and huge stuff, just Santa Claus stuff, insane. And I walked around the corner, and my first thought was A, Clark Griswold, and B, we're gonna have a freaking brownout on this street. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to go, and everyone else is going to suffer as a result. Didn't that happen on that movie? It did, right? Shut down everyone's power or something? And it pissed off Elaine next door.
Julie Louis-Dreyfus and her husband.
You say that because we don't know what actor that was.
Well, because, it wasn't anybody who did anything since, was it?
No, but you know what? I used to think it was Kevin Pollak for a long time.
Oh, really?
It's not, though.
It's not Kevin Pollak, no, and it's not Brad Hall. For some reason, before I saw the movie again recently, I was thinking it was Brad Hall, who is her real life husband.
Yeah, they're still married, aren't they?
Yeah.
Look at those guys, still kicking it.
Oh yeah.
How many years have they been married? Wow, that's awesome. And when does that happen in Hollywood? Hardly ever.
Who knows? They met on Saturday Night Live, as a matter of fact,
yeah.
in the crappy years.
Yeah.
During the Ebersol, the Dick Ebersol years.
Were those the Ebersol years? I know that was the Christopher Guest doing the news years.
Yes. Yeah.
Some of that stuff was all right, though. You know, like his news I thought was good. I liked that. What else, though? That was it, pretty much.
Yeah.
But who was the other? There was Rich Hall, and then there was the other Rich, not Rich Hall. Brad Hall and Rich Hall.
Brad Hall, yeah. So Rich Hall is the guy who did Sniglets, but I think he was on, so he was an HBO guy for not necessarily the news, mm-hmm. and that's where Sniglets originated.
Yep. Yep.
And then I think he did come to Saturday Night Live for a little bit.
Yeah, he was on SNL for a while, and he's the guy, I have a signed poster from him when I was in Chicago.
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of cool. I don't know where it is, buried in a box, but yeah. Anyway, I don't know why I went there. So I don't know, so my point is this. Should I worry about this neighbor? Do I worry about that at all? I mean, it's pretty festive and awesome, but do you know.
Is he on your street?
Around the corner and then down the next.
Okay, good. So really all the traffic that is inevitably going to be coming mm-hmm. as you get closer and closer to Christmas won't go down your street.
Not necessarily, although it's a good exit plan. If you're coming from the other direction, that would be the way they'd go.
They'd
come around past us. So I hadn't thought about that. Like, I hadn't thought about the tour trade. Oh, geez. All right. Well, anyway, good for them.
By the way, Marvin Skelton clears it up here. Nicholas Guest is the guy who played Julia Louise Dreyfus's husband in Christmas Vacation. Nicholas Guest is the younger brother of Christopher Guest.
No way.
Yeah.
Clearly the less talented of the brothers. I don't know. I just don't know what to say.
well,
what did he go on to do?
The worst agent. The worst agent of the two brothers.
That's a good point. You always wonder how much that plays a role in people's stuff. So let's see. Nick Guest, you say.
Nicholas Guest.
Here he is. Right. Nicholas Guest. Oh, he totally looks like his brother.
Does he?
Yeah, that's weird. Christmas Vacation, Tangled, Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan.
Star Trek Connection.
Paranorman. He's doing a bunch of voice work. That's his job now. Oh, he was on Mad Men, played Anthony Marsh in 2012.
He definitely has more of the rugged good looks, compared to his brother.
Sure. Bunch of video games. CSI Miami. He played someone named Howard Berger. My name is
before.
Howard Berger. Took his sunglasses off and then music played. Let's see. Bourne Conspiracy. No, he's done some stuff. Mm-hmm. He's been around. All right. Well, good for him. Good job, Nicholas Guest. May your brother make another fake documentary. All right.
May your sister-in-law not annoy you too much when she comes over for Christmas.
That's good. A good point as well. So, anyway, what was my? So I was going to ask you. Well, this all leads to a point here. I'm not just telling people about my neighbors. Okay. How far do you go on Christmas? What do you do on the outside?
As far as lights,
yeah.
The most we've ever done, and we didn't do it this year, but we have done it in previous years. It's just been too cold to put them up. But we have a string of white lights that we frame the entirety of the front roof, the roof on the front of the house.
Oh, nice.
So basically it goes along across in front of our above the patio and the front door and then over to the garage and then follows the roof along the top of the garage. It looks really nice.
And you take it down when you do it, you take it down after or do you leave it up all year?
Oh, no, we take it down after.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Because this is my problem. I tend to, and when I have done it in the past, I'm like, hey, just make it a permanent thing. Just leave it right on up there. You don't have to turn it on.
You know, there's something to that. Personally, I don't know why nobody's come up with year-round lights that have colored LEDs that you can change.
Depending remotely. On the time of year.
Right. So, right now, Christmas time, great. You'll put up, maybe make them red and green.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
You could do white, but then I think as you get closer to New Year's, you make them white.
Sure.
And then in February, you change them to red for Valentine's Day. And
Halloween's
March, you change
all
them to
orange.
Green.
Sure. Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
That's a great idea. Why is no one, maybe someone has them, we just don't know it.
Maybe somebody has made these, but
it's like the Meatwood Flax. They exist and we didn't
right.
know.
Right. Exactly.
Somebody somewhere can make these. All right. Well, chat room will surely tell us because that's their job. That's what you guys do. All right. Well, that's that. Let's call Daryl.
Okay.
All right. Let's just get that over with. I don't mean it that way.
No, you don't.
I like Daryl a lot.
I'm going to take 5 seconds and restart the furnace. Oh, I'll do the opening read.
The hoo-ha?
And then,
okay.
Yeah. Great.
Stump a Trek Nerd, brought to you by
Casey, who is rad and should get all he wants for Christmas this year.
Yeah, nice guy. Totally cool guy.
Casey.
He's one of those guys who's like, I don't need you to say anything. I just want to help out. Just like what you do. And I'm like, well, I'm going to say your name anyway, buddy.
Exactly. Everybody likes hearing their name.
That's right.
Casey.
Daryl, do you like hearing your name?
No.
Okay. So if I said Daryl repeatedly, you would be like, stop. Is that what would happen there?
Probably.
Okay. That's what I thought. Daryl's with us on Skype again today. You can tell. It's lovely, right? Ooh.
It's weird. The mic is super sensitive. If anybody says anything, the world will hear.
Can you, so you mean when we say stuff, you can hear us? You can hear us outside?
No, the other way. If somebody is here in the office far away, then you'll probably hear them.
Oh, that we'll pick them up. Yeah. Like that 2 days ago, we were picking up your zipper or something like that. Or what was it? Oh, you're opening something.
Yeah, a bag of food.
Yes, exactly. Speaking of which, I got a bunch of stuff here and I haven't. Well, I opened one of them. I got the Oreo box finally. So we have that if we want to do that today. We'll wait until Brian comes back from...
What's that? What do we have?
Stoking your heater or whatever you're doing over there.
Put another log on the fire.
Shoveling coal. I got the Oreo box. I just forgot to tell you.
Oh!
So we could probably take a dip in there today.
Ooh, banana split. Do you have yours with you, Daryl?
Yes, I do.
He does.
I'm going to have to run upstairs while you're asking the question.
All right, fair enough. Here goes.
Let me add a bunch of long words and unpronounceable... phrases to the question really quick.
That's
and
probably
then,
a good idea. Yeah.
And then I'll give you time.
Clearly aren't enough.
All right, grabbing my Oreo box.
So you do that. We're going to go here. All right, Daryl, let's get to your question. You're a Star Trek nerd. That's what you do. You watch Star Trek. You see a lot of it. I watched most of yesterday's This Week in Trek live via the internet stream that you guys provide when you do that show.
Yeah.
And that was a lovely experience. Can I ask you a question about that, though? How are you?
Maybe.
What are you guys using to pipe your video in simultaneously when you guys do it? You just using Skype or what?
Yeah, just Skype.
And he's just doing some screen cappy thing or something?
I'm not sure what software he uses. Hmm. Or is it even software? I think it's a hardware thing.
Oh, is it a hardware deal? All right.
Yeah.
Nothing quite like a good hardware deal. All right. Well, let's get to the business. Oh, Brian's already back. Jeez, I haven't even asked the question
yet.
Oh,
yeah, it's just upstairs.
In the Next Generation episode, A Fistful of Data's. That's hilarious. Nick Berman or Rick Berman. Worf and Alexander, everyone's favorite freaking kid offspring in a TV show, plays a holodeck program set in the Old West. Remember this one? Oh my gosh, I hate this one. Of course, the holodeck malfunctions and all the characters in the holodeck program turn into Data. So everybody in there is a Data all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. This is due to some test that Geordi and Data are running on the ship. What town does this holodeck program take place in? Is it A, Deadwood, South Dakota? B, Dodge City, Kansas? C, El Paso, Texas? Or D, Tombstone, Arizona? Now, okay, I gave you a little time to think about it for no reason there, because what we're going to do now is eat something. So let's do that.
Well, let's have some breakfast.
How can you eat at a time like this?
Because I'm hungry.
Yeah, I'm hungry.
I'm hungry.
I'm getting hungry. Yeah. All right, so let's do the banana split, all right? That sound okay? These are Oreos that I don't think you can get. They're very limited edition, hard to get, only around for a little while kind of stuff. We got these from...
Who sent them again? Mary Heidenberg. Weird Tigger. Yeah.
That's right. Man, there's a lot of little stuff in here now, too.
Yes, and I'm the keeper of the wrappers for all those things, so just call me Jay-Z.
Okay, great. You're the keeper of the rappers. Didn't that used to be P. Diddy? Wasn't he the keeper of the rappers for a long time?
He was kind of the keeper of the rappers. Who owns the Bad Boy label? Yeah, that is P. Diddy, isn't it?
Is that P. Diddy? Okay.
Yeah.
The rap world, I don't understand it. Like, why?
Anyway.
Why isn't Tone Loke on a throne somewhere with a staff directing all of this? That's what I want to know.
I know. You know the guy's got talent.
Got talent? What's going on with him? All right, so I'm opening this up, and apparently, oh, wow, look at these. These remind me of the Neapolitan ones. They're just multiple-colored.
Well, yeah, because they've got the, exactly. Oh, wow.
Ooh, the odor.
Woo! Well, it's not just that the frosting inside is multicolored. The two, you get a black cookie and a white cookie.
Right, living together in harmony for the first
time.
So we're going to... You know what? Nobody talks about that song anymore. Is the great racial divide remover that it was meant to be.
It was one of the first signs that Paul McCartney had died inside.
That he, well, yeah, hadn't actually
pretty
died.
Much just given up. Okay. It's just pretty much as like, you know, I could crap songs, so I'm going to go ahead and just do that.
Yeah,
now from
everything since Wings is poo.
Exactly.
There's some good Wings stuff though.
There's great Wings stuff. Yeah. Band on the Run. Another Day.
Yep, really good. I got a great Foo Fighters cover.
And his solo stuff, his first two solo albums, McCartney and McCartney 2, great stuff. And
really?
then all of a sudden, you know, he's doing Let Him In and Silly Love Songs. Yeah. And
you know why? Well, you know what happened? He got his mind set on you. That's what happened right there.
That's the wrong guy.
Oh, okay. Different Beatle. All right, so yeah. Here we go. Let's give it a shot, see what we think. Taking a big bite. You know, that's just what it purports to be.
Oh.
I mean, I don't know if I'd trade it for an actual banana split.
Oh, my God, that's damn good.
That's pretty good.
The banana is very... It's an overwhelming banana flavor. So, like, the they could probably
that
use a little
good,
less
yeah.
a little less on the banana frosting.
Yeah, that's not terrible.
But it is the Runtz. It is the fake Runtz banana flavor. There's no... You're never in the world going to find a banana flavor, an artificial banana flavor that doesn't taste like candy Runtz.
Yep, that's all they have.
It's like the Uncanny Valley. They're never going to be able to get closer to a real banana flavor than that.
Even the Harry Potter, like, Jelly Bellies, which all are just in the insanely accurate flavors mm-hmm. and tastes and stuff. You get to the banana one, you're like, Runtz, this is Runtz, just tastes like Runtz. Actual bananas do not taste like Runtz. I'm sorry. Sorry to tell you. Sorry to inform you. You know what I like the most about Daryl being on Skype now? His, you can hear him chewing better.
I don't think it would be good if it... an actual banana is probably...
Uh-oh. Are we losing Daryl?
Oh, no.
I think we're losing Daryl.
Oh, no, Daryl.
I think that's just me talking and it's getting crunchy.
Oh, yeah, that is you getting crunchy.
Did you lose me?
Yeah.
I think he's hearing us like 10 minutes ago. Oh... There he goes. He's got to answer this question. Here, we'll call his phone. So we have this nice backup, see?
Mm-hmm.
We got this. My pants just buzzed as if my phone was in it, but my phone is not in my pants.
You're having
well,
a phantom?
That was weird.
There's no crunchiness on the landline.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening there. That's odd. All right. Well, back to the point. What was my point? Oh, back to the point is that was okay. It was all right. But it tastes like Runtz. What were you saying about the flavor, Daryl? You had something to say there.
What was I saying? Oh, if this was, you can't put real banana flavor in anything because a real banana would not taste good in anything.
Well,
it has to be the fake banana.
You mean like, because it wouldn't work in like confectionery, like candy, like things. I think you might be right. I think a banana is a more subtle, sort of mild taste to it.
It is.
You do a chocolate covered
right
banana,
here.
Like a frozen, you go to Disneyland
oh,
and you get
yeah,
a frozen chocolate covered banana.
Yeah.
Right. And that's. That's confectionery.
But that's but it's mostly a banana. That's mostly entirely banana, though. It's like a little chocolate on your banana.
I don't know. I don't know if I buy that. I don't know if I buy the fact that fake banana flavoring would be better than a closer to real banana flavoring in candy.
Oh,
I think if you put real banana flavor in here, you would bite it and say, ooh, that's just a bunch of mush, the flavorless mush.
You guys, I'm having phantom phone in my pants. I don't know what's happening. Every once in a while, my like where my pocket is on my right side will vibrate like a phone, and I'll reach to grab it, and it's not.
Phantom phone in my pants is my Tay Allen cover band.
I don't have my phone there, so what's going on? Anyway, all right, we'll look into that later. So what are we doing? Oh, yeah, Star Trek. Back to the birthday thing. Whose birthday are we celebrating? What banana in Star Trek history are we celebrating today?
Well, now that I have a mouthful of cookie, that would be Terry Garr. She is 66 today.
Still with us, right? She's still here?
Yeah, she's still around.
Mm.
She was Roberta Lincoln on the TOS episode Assignment Earth.
Didn't she have there was some kind of big problem. What was her deal? She had like a...
Bad hair?
No. She had some kind of crazy cancer. I thought it almost killed her
really?
Or something.
Oh.
There was something bad. I don't remember what it was. But bad hair
that
also.
Does sound familiar, yeah.
I'm looking at her now.
She was like the perfect combination of a, you know, a cute comedian back in the day, you know, back in the laugh-in days and in the 80s and stuff.
It's like Chris, what's his name's wife? I can never remember her name. On
Multiple sclerosis she has.
Oh, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
2002, she announced it.
It was bad. She got like a bad case of it or something, or some kind of really extreme version, or I don't know what the deal was. But was she the naked one in the hallway in, not Simon and Simon? What's it called?
I don't know.
Kramer versus Kramer. Do you remember Kramer versus Kramer?
I remember it. I don't remember a naked woman in the hallway, though.
I do. There was a scene where the kid, like Dustin Hoffman's kid, I think it was Dustin Hoffman movie, right? He walks out into the hallway, the little kid does, and she comes barreling out of there in her nothings and is holding her BJJ and boobers.
I don't think so, because I don't see, number one, I don't see her, I think that was Jo Beth Williams.
Oh, okay. Was it?
Doing a quick search. Yeah, Jo Beth Williams, and she was, what else was she in?
The first search for Jo Beth Williams is Jo Beth Williams' feet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you do, that's the crazy thing about the internet, is you do a search for an actress's name, and like one of the first things you find in Google in the recommended is feet.
Oh, wow. Why is that? Does Tarantino have that strong of a hold on Google results?
I don't think. Yeah, maybe. See, there she is.
There right she there. Is walking down the hall. There, see what I'm saying? That little kid sees her and doesn't know what to do with himself. Yeah.
She's not very good at covering herself up with her arm, is she?
No. The Kramer versus Kramer back in the day meant we are not good at covering this stuff up.
She was the mom in Poltergeist. Got the little white streak in her hair after all the ghosty stuff happened.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I like Poltergeist. Poltergeist felt like the first horror movie for kids. It wasn't really for kids, though.
Right. No, I'm with you.
But you know what I mean? It mainstreamed it a little bit. There's something about that. And that little short lady going, "Don't go in the door." I love that lady.
Walk towards the light, Carol Ann.
Carol Ann. She's awesome. All right, Daryl, back to you. Happy birthday, Terry Garr. Go watch Tootsie, everybody. What is it? Still holds up. Great movie.
Yeah.
Or any of the Mel Brooks stuff she was in was also good. All right, so back to your point. What was the point? Oh, this question here. Next Generation. It's a Western. It's got your Worf and your Alexander rolling around in some Western town. Was it Deadwood, Dodge City, El Paso, or Tombstone?
Well, let's see. Tombstone is a pizza, so I'm crossing that out.
Okay. All right. It is. You're right. Somebody has done that. It is a pizza.
Yeah, Dodge is a car, so I'm crossing that out.
Okay.
So that leaves Deadwood and El
Mercury
Paso.
Topaz, New Mexico.
Yes. Last time I was in Topaz, I ran out of gas. So yeah, you got El Paso and you got Deadwood left of that list.
So let's see. El Paso means the pass. And Deadwood just means dead wood.
Wow.
I can't argue with that.
That was a brilliant deduction. That was awesome.
I think I'm just going to... Deadwood just sounds familiar anyway. And I hate this episode, so I never watch it.
You know, it's not like a rewatch for you, probably.
Yeah, but Deadwood just sounds familiar, so right or wrong, that's what I'm choosing.
Well, Deadwood is it's a TV show they had on
HBO.
Yeah, so that might be familiar to you because of that. It featured a guy peeing out a kidney stone. It was fantastic.
Hmm.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember that scene, but I still squirm thinking about it when Swedgen had to pee real bad. Oh, it was rough. Rough piece of business, that.
Yeah.
Great movie, though. The Doctor was the guy that played Wormtongue in the Lords of the Rings.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, the one that kept talking to the leader of Rohan Man, to talking him into staying all green and gross.
Rohan Man.
Okay, wait. What does Rohan Man
do?
Oh,
no.
You brought this on yourself.
Test my damn lore, my memory of those damn movies. Mm-hmm. Able to swing a sword and kill orcs.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Excelsior.
That's pretty good. Check this out. It's one of my favorite themes from the movie. Hold on. Let's see. No. Right here. Hold on. No, no. Hold on. Is it doing it? Oh, this is it. I love that. There's something about the Riders of Rohan theme that it just gets me every time. Okay.
All right.
I'm sorry. Daryl, did you say A, Deadwood then? Is that your answer?
Well, after this long delay, after I gave my answer, I don't know. Maybe I should change it.
Well, I don't know. It's up to you, man. You get to call the shots on that.
No, I'll just chalk that up to you guys going nuts.
All right.
So I'll just stay with Deadwood.
Stay with Deadwood. Well, let's find out if you're right. What's the El Paso one has a song too, though, Ryan, right? It's one day I went all the way to El Paso and said something.
That's right. They played in the last episode of Breaking Bad.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they did.
Yep.
All right. Spoilers. Here we go.
No, that's not.
Oh, it's not? Okay. I have to check everything. Deadwood, South Dakota. Is it that?
Congratulations!
You did it.
You're a winner!
Man, Daryl, you're nailing it this week. Deadwood, South Dakota. The holodeck program takes place in Deadwood. Here's a clip of the two characters having a conversation as a version, or with a version of Data, is what I think he meant to put. He put as, but...
I come to see my boy.
Remove your weapon.
Better take a good look at that gun, Sheriff. You might be seeing it again real soon.
Paul!
Eli!
How they treating you, boy? Real bad, Paul. Ain't fed me since I got here, and that sheriff's been roughing up on me something fierce.
Don't you worry, boy. Sheriff's gonna pay. Who's the stranger?
I don't know. She ain't said her name. She's in cahoots with the sheriff, and she's mighty mean with that Winchester.
You sit tight, boy. I'll have you home in time for supper.
That is a steaming pile of shit.
That's Brent Spiner going to the producers and saying, I really want an episode where I can explore my range.
Yeah.
I feel like I play the same character in every episode.
Yeah, and then they realize why, dude. That's bad. That's so bad. I don't remember being that bad. Ugh.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there it is, and there you have it. Daryl, good job. You're a perfect week so far. You got tomorrow to make it a perfect week. All 4 days in a row. Always a good time. Daryl's the Trek Nerd, everybody, on Twitter. The Trek Nerd. And on thisweekintrek.com, you'll find his fine podcast called This Week in Trek. We're now going to play a little game called what?
Well, I think I'm just going to stick with this cluster theme.
Okay.
Let's call this Cluster Week.
Here it is. Cluster Week, everybody. Okay.
Okay. Is this a Star Trek thing or a candy bar? Again.
Okay.
Black cluster.
Black cluster.
It's a racist candy bar. Black cluster.
Black cluster.
I don't think it would sell very well as a candy bar, so I'm going to say it's a Star Trek thing.
You know, I will too. That doesn't sound like a thing I would ever buy and eat and ingest. I mean, we've seen weirder things even on this show that come in candy bar form, but I think I'm going to go Star Trek.
I need to do a better job of this. It is the Star Trek thing.
It's not bad. It's just the word black just sounds wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, not trying to be racist or anything. Here, let's change the tone of the question. So much better now. It's the news.
And it's brought to you by the rebirth of Current Geek.
What?
Current Geek.
What?
With Tom, Scott, and friends. Launching in January, currentgeek.com for details.
I'll give you a couple of quick details. Next Tuesday, we're going to do a hangout to explain what we have planned to get people's questions, suggestions, feedback, all that kind of stuff. So watch for that. Details coming soon. The reason we decided to go with it is... I mean, there's a lot of convenient reasons, like we have the name, I have the domain, we already have a feed, there's a Twitter feed, there's all these things already in place. That's a small part, though. That just happens to be very convenient. The main reason is we never were truly able to do with that show what we wanted. At the time, we were running that on Twit, and it couldn't have any tech in it, like no tech talk at all.
Really?
Yeah, which is a little weird.
Half of the name kind of lends itself to tech.
Exactly. So
actually, and the other half kind of is a technology word itself, current.
So we are going to, because we want a tech-heavy show, it's not all that, but we want it to, you know, we don't ever get to talk about that on this network, except when Tom comes on like today. We thought it would be fun to take it back and build it out the way we really want it to be. So that's what that is. So go to currentgeek.com, and there's links to how you can support us ahead of time. There's a way to sort of get into some packages that give you some cool stuff, but also help us get this thing off the ground. We're launching first week of January. We're totally excited. And again, that, whatchamacallit on, next, what's it called? The Google Hangout we'll do on Tuesday. We'll answer a lot of questions. So stay tuned for that.
This Week in Tech stole this name from Frog Pants. We're taking it back.
Take it back. Bic.
We're taking it Bic.
We're taking it Bic. So check this out in the news. 6-year old, little kid, cute little kid.
Yeah.
Kissed a classmate and got a sexual harassment suspension.
What?
Uh huh. Didn't say where he kissed her.
did he promise to give her a raise after he kissed her?
I know, it's a real breaking that glass ceiling finally. 6-year-old Casanova is expected to return to his Colorado school.
Oh, Colorado connection.
Indeed. Today after getting suspended for kissing a classmate on the hand.
According, for Pete's sake.
Oh, I know,
really?
Right? It's just a terrible thing. KRDO is reporting this. Crud Radio.
Where does it stop?
Hunter Yelton. It's a great name. has said the girl he pecked likes him back. Do they have to say pecked? I think that I would have not used the word pecked. But anyway. But officials at the elementary school in Canyon City, where's that? Do you know where that is?
Yeah, that's way down south by the Royal Gorge.
Fantastic.
It's a, if I remember correctly, it is the transvestite capital of the world.
We'll never be gorgeous. All right. consider his behavior. That's a song that, sign that song's way overplayed right now. My gosh. Could the radio ruin things more? I don't know. And I barely listen to the radio. And every time I turn it on, it's either that song or that. I've been running for the you know that song? What's that song?
I don't know it. I don't recognize it.
It's like a, they're playing like the beginning of it's like a banjo, but then it gets kind of techno-y in the middle. I don't want to find a hand. Come on, people, chat room. You know what I'm doing.
Is that by, oh, that's by the, yeah. That's by the business advocate or the business guy from PayPal. I've heard that, yeah. By the way, Trinidad is the transvestite capital of the world.
Oh, it is? Oh,
yeah,
wow.
It's near. Yeah, it's near.
You guys know the one. Come on.
The old song, like,
no, it's brand
it
new.
It sounds like you're singing, I know, but it sounds like you're singing, big wheels keep on turning.
It's kind of like that, except without the it at the end.
Oh, it's Avicii. I have heard that. Yes.
Yeah.
Right. And it kind of sounds like one of the guys who did the vocals for Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Yes. Avicii? Oh, I thought I thought people were typing like the word ASCII or something. That's a weird looking name. Here, let me. So the song, just so people at home aren't freaking out, here it is. Is it Wake Me Up? Wake me up till it's over. Yeah, this is it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I heard that banjo.
Oh, that's totally Utah I just saw on there.
That's a banjo.
Is that a Utah connection? Yeah, I guess it's not a banjo. It's a guitar, isn't it?
I'm caught up in a dream.
Yeah, it's very Mumfordy. That's Utah they're filming that video in. 186 million views. Good Lord.
Wow.
Could Vivo be MTV more? I mean, are they the new MTV? They really are.
Yeah, let them be the new MTV because the old MTV is not around anymore.
Nope. Teen that, moms that, and whatever.
Yeah, that throne is available. Help yourself.
Anyway, this kid got in trouble for this. He kissed this girl on the hand, and the gesture was not seen as a sweet expression of affection by officials at Lincoln School of Science and Technology. And apparently prudishness, you know, prude elementary is what they should name this place. Yelton was summoned to the principal's office, and his mother was called in for a meeting as well. He's going back now, but I guess that's no kissing girls on the hand.
That's lame.
There are kids in my junior high over here that Nick goes to that are doing way worse than that near the lockers.
Really?
Why don't you call them in?
Oh, no.
They're doing things with their hands that aren't, you know what I'm saying? I think some wieners are out over there at that school.
Really? Oh, my God.
I heard something's going on. Not Nick, though. Oh,
and Randall Dude of the Tadpole points out, yeah, this sucks because this poor kid is going to have this on his record, sexual harassment on his record now.
Yeah.
That's
terrible.
It is terrible.
I mean, they'll expunge it by the time he's 18, but whatever.
Yeah, but still.
Still. Not cool, guys. Come on. Overreact.
Exactly.
Maybe it's fake, because we're talking just about how everything on the internet is suspect anyway, so maybe this didn't really happen. 20 years, this did happen, 20 years of Doom. We celebrate that today, well, Tuesday. Id Software released Doom, and the world of gaming has never been quite the same since. While it wasn't the first first-person shooter, it was arguably the most influential, kicking off a tradition of both complexity and gameplay and of highly stylized graphic violence, says the NBCNews.com. Quote, "We fully expect to be the number one cause of decreased productivity in business around the world," boasted an id press release ahead of the game's release way back then. It's fair to say Doom created something like that level of distraction in homes and offices alike. Yeah, let's focus on the negative, everybody. Let's forget what the actual impact of the innovation of the gameplay, the graphics, and everything else were, and how it led to many, many other things. So let's just go ahead and be a-holes.
Was Doom the first-person shooter you played, or were you a Castle Wolfenstein?
I was a Wolfenstein player, and I played Castle Wolfenstein, the Spear of Destiny sequel. I don't know if you ever played that. But that's where, which one had Hitler, Mecha Hitler? Was it the first one?
I think that had to be the first one, yeah.
Probably. It was great. I always remember those guys going,
The bomb.
Mein Leben, when they die, they yelled, Mein Leben! Which I didn't. I don't know what that even means in German.
My love.
Oh, my love. Is that what it means?
Yeah, yeah.
And the other guys are going, Brujo.
Now, what's the? There was another company that was making 3D stuff. Descent into Madness. No, Pathways into Darkness.
Oh, right. Well, and technically,
Bungie? Was that Bungie?
That may have been Bungie. Apogee, maybe. And they went on to do Duke Nukem. What was the?
That was the first one I
Descent
remember.
Descent was awesome. Remember, you mentioned the word Descent. Descent was that cool space.
Right, and there was no right side up. It was you were flying through a space station tunnels and stuff, and there was
love
no...
I love that so much.
Yeah, you'd rotate all around. Now, Pathways into Darkness also came out August 1993, so before Doom. Was Bungie.
I thought Doom was 90... Oh, no, you're right. You're right.
Yeah. You know what else 20 years ago this week? Nirvana's Unplugged.
Whoa, stop it. Really? That's actually really good. The MTV, back when MTV did music good.
Right.
Did music good.
Yeah.
Remember when MTV2 came around? They came around and they thought, oh, hey, guess what? MTV2, we'll take care of it. We'll carry the flag. Nope.
Yes. Nope. We're just going to use this as an overflow for more reality shows. Yeah, thanks.
VH1 said, hey, we'll do it. And then, nope.
And then VH1 Classic. Mm-hmm. And
I hate that.
Yeah, it's like... a virus.
Viva la vivo is what I say now.
Yeah.
It was a big deal. I remember we built a level very quickly after that game came out. We built a level based on the office I was working in. And we had all the like bathrooms and toilets and everything in there. It was fantastic. And we played that thing all night, every night for my poor pregnant wife, dude. She was pregnant with Taylor and laying on like chairs. And trying to get, you know, because these games made her sick. She was super pregnant. And I just could not get off those computers. We played on this LAN at this office all night long. Corinne knows. If Corinne's listening, she knows. She was there.
Right.
And it was, man, that was some fun business back then. Really had fun with that. And Quake came along, same deal. I was so excited.
For you Mac people, if you never did play Pathways into Darkness, it's a free download on the Mac App Store. It's been it's been ported into Cocoa, all Cocoa. So,
oh, that's cool.
So you can actually play it. Like you get your little screen and then all your stuff on the right side listing your inventory. And oh my God, that's awesome.
Ryland Dune in the chat room reminds me, and I must have mentioned it on a show before, maybe this show, but we skinned all our characters in Quake to look like Henry Rollins' body.
Really?
So they had all, it was all from photos of Henry Rollins. We had all his tats and everything. And then my boss's wife's face on top of everyone's face.
Oh,
and then we just,
my God. That's fantastic.
Yeah, like rocket jump deathmatch with that. It was so good. Such a great time in games.
Yeah.
Such an innovative moment. And there you go, Twitch. That's my fiduciary agreement to talk about video games on the stream.
Now we get another month of streaming. Woo!
That's right. Go to HelloFresh.com, everybody. They're our sponsor today. HelloFresh.com. Make cooking fun again. I mean, cooking's already fun. Make it funner. More fun is the
funner.
Proper.
I don't know. Funner. Yeah, funner.
The proper vernacular. Funner is not right, is it?
No, it's not right.
Okay, good. Don't do it. Funs, don't do that. Yeah. They're going to send you the ingredients. All you got to do is pick from one of these great chef-created recipes. They'll send you everything you need. Make it in 30 minutes or less. And if you're in one of their areas, which could be here in the States, could be Germany, Australia, Netherlands, could be anywhere, the UK, use the code MorningStream50 for 50% off for all first-time customers. 50% off at HelloFresh.com. That's HelloFresh.com.
Chairman J. Parnell Thomas of New Jersey opens an inquiry into possible communist penetration of the Hollywood film industry.
It's Celebrity Poop, and it's brought to you by
Ocular Dissonance. Coming to you live.
When stuff just doesn't look right for no reason.
So I found out why.
So you've got a case of the ocular dissonance.
I do. Ocular dissonance is when it was the thing I was trying to explain to the doctor. Where my left eye, even though it's much better, the one I got done last year, It's so much better than it used to be. But it's something still doesn't look right to me. But I can't tell you what that is. I couldn't tell you what's wrong. It's clear, but it isn't. It's a strange thing. And he says, that's because you hardly used your left eye growing up. You've got lazy eye in that eye, and you kept it squinted most of the time, especially outdoors. So that eye is woefully underused, and your brain was wired to be more dominantly right eye focused. And because of that, when we corrected that eye, it doesn't know what to do with some of that information, and so your brain doesn't process it all. So I'm having a little of that. He said you may have some of that with the right one, because we are telling the brain, hey, this way you've seen your whole life, and at these distances and these focal points, that's all going to change, and there's nothing you can do about it. Your brain has to readapt. So I'm having a little bit of
fabulous
ocular dissonance in my right eye now. That's fine.
Oh, lucky you.
It's fine. It's just hard to explain. Like, it's a really weird, like, alien.
But that's what causes, like, the lens flare-looking stuff, too, right?
No, that's, like, a physical thing. For me, it's, like, it's none of those things you can describe. Like, by the way, that lens flare is basically gone now.
Oh, good. So that was temporary. Okay.
Yeah, it seems to be temporary. But the I don't know. I kind of miss having the JJ. It's like I'm Star Trek 2011 or 12 instead of Star Trek 2009 here.
Right.
But the whole, like, I don't know. I can't explain it. It would be like trying to explain. I don't have a comparison. That's what makes it weird. And I was so glad that he had a word for it. Because at least I don't think I'm kind of going crazy. Eric knows what this feels like. Eric Van Skyhawk has the same thing in one of his eyes where it was way underdeveloped. And he has perfect vision out of it, but he does. But his brain doesn't process it. So there's always something wrong, but he can't explain what. It's really weird. Anyway, Joan Jett.
Yeah,
I love rock and roll.
She
right?
She loves rock and roll. She's a former runaway.
She has ordered SeaWorld to drop "I Love Rock and Roll" from the proceedings there, I guess.
Okay.
She fired off a cease and desist letter to the president and CEO of SeaWorld in Florida after learning her I Love Rock and Roll anthem as part of the theme park Shamu Rocks show. The animal lover was appalled to discover her music was the opening display without her permission, and she wants it removed immediately.
Got it. Immediately. So it's because they've got a whale in captivity, and they're playing the song kind of associated with it, I guess, right?
Yeah, that's a deal. She doesn't like that. She said, I'm among millions who saw Blackfish, and I am sickened that my music was blasted without my permission at sound-sensitive marine animals. She's pretty pissed, so there you go. She also looks like my mother for some reason right now.
So maybe they can just switch to using the original version of that song, which is by the Arrows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Was it?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, hers is a cover.
Oh, when they heard it was being used as her anthem, they want to cease and desist her now. Great. I didn't know. That's one of those ones where you'd swear she was the owner of that song.
Yeah, well, she did. I mean, she might as well be, because she did such a great job of making that song her own. But the Arrows version, a few years earlier.
There you go. Finally, Adam Sandler tops Forbes's 2013 list of most overpaid actors.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, no.
Oh, no.
You see, I'm on this list. I can't do his voice. Katherine Heigl, Reese Witherspoon round out the top three. Heigl, maybe. Witherspoon, I don't know. She's done stuff. Whatever.
Yeah.
You don't like her chin, though.
I don't like Reese Witherspoon's chin. I do like Katherine Heigl a lot. I think she's...
She's all right.
She's all right. But as far as what her, I mean, she's rom-com fodder.
Yeah.
That sounds like a new, it sounds like a character from,
yeah, it does, right?
From the Broadway play Cats. Yes. It is a new cat rom-com fodder.
She, She was a she owns a huge ranch here. She's from here. She's from Utah. Utah connection, mm-hmm. Catherine Hagel.
Really?
Yeah, she's from here and she has a ginormous, incredibly ridiculous ranch up near the mountains. It's a beautiful. I wish I could. You know what? I have a photo. This is a lousy shot of it, but I'm going to send it to you. Anyway, okay. So look for this in Skype. Whoops. Skype. There we go. Oh, my gosh. That link is big.
That is a big honking link right there.
And it's only a partial shot, but it's this big, gorgeous wow. thing. She was married there and everything.
Oh, wow. Jeez. That's like a, that looks like a, like a lodge, like a, you know.
Yeah, multiple.
20 rooms.
Yeah,
yeah. 20 rooms for rent lodge. Mm-hmm.
Bring your, yeah, your big company retreat lodge, but right. Nope, just her house.
Oh.
Good for her, I suppose.
Yeah.
But well, they say except for
overpaid.
Yeah. American comedian Adam Sandler tops this list of overpaid actors in Hollywood, commanding a high upfront fee when delivering middling returns, the magazine said on Monday. Sandler, age 40. Yeah, but they're mostly his own production company, so I don't know what the problem is there.
Right, they're all Happy Madison things.
Yeah. But. Sandler, age 47. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Jeez. He's moving on up. The star of recent comedies Jack and Jill and That's My Boy dethroned Eddie Murphy for the dubious distinction. Forbes estimated that Sandler's last three films return an average of $3.40 for every dollar he was paid. Well, that doesn't seem that bad. I mean, it would be worse if he was making $3.40 for every dollar he was paid.
Right, exactly. It's not so bad.
Something like that. Wait, no, he was making $3.40 for every dollar that came back. Yeah, this other way is fine. That means you made money. What's the problem? It's right. Not like they're losing money, so why is that overpaid?
I think they just don't think he's got the talent to command that much.
All right, fine.
Looks like Jennifer Aniston is also on the list.
Yeah, of course she is.
Nicolas Cage was fourth.
Yeah.
And Kevin James was fifth.
Kevin James?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I like Paul Blart Mall Cop in small doses and very occasionally.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I don't mind
him. In
what
sitting?
His stand-up's really funny.
Yeah, yeah.
It's some great stand-up specials. All right. Tweaked Audio sponsoring the show as well today. Go get them. Check them out. You know the drill. TweakedAudio.com. Lifetime warranty. Noise reduction. Durability. They're awesome. We love those guys. And it's a great time of year to get something cool from Tweaked Audio and save a little money. 33% off with the usual code STREAM. That's STREAM at checkout. TweakedAudio.com. All right. Let's take a break. Got a song for me? What are we doing?
I do. So we're getting close to Christmas, and I know you're a big Christmas guy. You like your Christmas music. Bad Religion just released a brand new album called, a very clever name, Christmas Songs.
Wow.
And on there they cover O Come Manuel and O Come All You Faithful, White Christmas, stuff like that. But they also do this great version of Little Drummer Boy, and I wanted to include that on an episode here. So here's Bad Religion rocking us out into the second half of the show with Little Drummer Boy.
Sounds good. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Come, they told me, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. A newborn king to see, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. Our latest gifts we bring, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum, to lay before the king, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum, rum-pa-pum-pum, rum-pa-pum-pum. So to honor him, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum, when we come. Little baby, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum, I am a poor boy too, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. I have no gift to bring, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum, that's fit to give the king, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum, rum-pa-pum-pum, rum-pa-pum-pum. Then he smiled at me, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum, me and my drum.
Machinery from coast to coast will speed your zip-coded letters and parcels to arrive in time for a Merry Christmas. But remember, mail cards out of state by December 10th, mail parcels to local and nearby areas by December 11th, and local cards by the 15th. Remember, December 10th, 11th, and 15th.
Penile implant.
Oh, you know what I have to do? I gotta warm up, actually, is what I have to do. And I have to check my audio to make sure it's good.
Scott Fletcher. Please awesome. Always send me your bloopers.
Yeah, no kidding.
Never be afraid to send those. They're always great. He's the best, you know? He really is. I feel like I'm on borrowed time with him. I feel like I'm not worthy because he just brings this weird sauce to everything. That just is so great.
Just such an amazing voice, and you want to. It's good that we're hooked in with him now because, mm-hmm. you know, when he becomes huge, hugely popular, then he'll remember us.
Yeah, he won't. He's the kind of guy that will not forget the little people in his life.
Right,
I'm sure of that. So thanks, Scott Fletcher. You're the man.
Yeah.
You're the man.
Yeah,
I like it because he's just a little bit weird. You know what I mean? Like he's mm-hmm. he's got that voice. He's got all that stuff he does. But then he's just a little weird, and right. that is awesome. Like, I mean, I want him to be weird.
Funny weird.
Oh, yeah. I don't mean it in like a handicap or something like that.
Strange weird. Yeah.
Yeah. Strange weird in a very good way. All right. It is time for us to call Nicole. Boy, I'm definitely not set up for that. Where is this thing? Here we go. Okay. Let's give her a call. It's recommendals.
All right.
Her chance to tell us what to watch and why.
By the way, I watched, I sat through about the first 30 minutes of Bugsy Malone from that YouTube link. Yeah. I just couldn't do it anymore.
Couldn't give it anymore. Huh?
It reminded me of the kids doing Breaking Bad.
Okay. That's not a bad comparison. That's pretty close.
Just couldn't do it.
I still recommend it. Hey, everybody, look at this. Speaking of recommendations, it's Recommendals time with Nicole. Hi, Nicole.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm not good.
You've had a rough couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's a stomach.
Still got that hanging around, man.
Yeah, Mark got it too.
Oh,
it just hit us a little later. So
that sucks.
It does.
Oh man, that's how it works though. You bring a kid home, been at the daycare, hanging out with these other dirty little rats,
and I'm looking around and. But it was a little light in the room this morning, so maybe they're getting sick now.
Maybe there were less kids there. And that's where it spreads the worst is these kinds of places.
Yeah.
And but that's where also they develop their immunity to it, though. I mean, you know, they do have to get sick like this just to kind of build up that. Yeah. No?
Then why am I getting sick?
Well, this is a new strain, see?
Yeah, it's your fallout, your collateral damage to this important immunity system building up that your kid is going through.
Yeah, I had a doctor tell me that this is a bad year for that particular thing, that strain. Mm. And he says it's all over the place. Doesn't matter where you live. It's just spreading like crazy. And the only effective treatment or the only effective preventative treatment is literally wash your hands every damn minute you get.
Mm-hmm. I try. Yeah, both our hands are just super dry because we're like, the problem is he threw up on me. So
that's a problem.
Can't really rebound from that.
The baby, so. Not Mark. Everybody, we're not.
No, not Mark. Mateo.
Mark's got better aim than that. But we had the same thing roll through the house, and I'm the only one that didn't get it. And Kim didn't get it. That's true. She didn't get it either. But, man, we washed our hands like we were freaks on fire, just constantly, constantly. And I'm still paranoid, though. I'm still sure. Yeah. I'm still sure I'm going to get it. And I have to be Santa at, like, a community Christmas party on Saturday. I'm going to have, like, all these kids sitting on me. Oh, my gosh. I shouldn't have volunteered, but whatever.
Have you ever done Santa before?
Yeah, I have. And it doesn't look right. You know me. I'm 6'4 and kind of skinny. It's stupid.
Yeah, but it's a lot easier to add padding to you than it would be to, you know,
take away
padding if you had to play an elf or something.
That's true. Kim's going to be Mrs. Claus. I got to be Santa Claus. Tick Carter gets to be one of the elves, which is also ridiculous because she's almost 6 feet now. So,
speaking of
elf. Yeah.
Since
don't bring that movie up. Been all kinds of controversy this week.
Woo. Good.
Yeah.
That's a great movie. It's one of my favorites.
And I like. There's a lot to like about it. I just
it's
don't.
Such a great.
It
movie.
Falls apart in the last half.
Oh, you're
it's
full of it.
So good in the first half. It's terrible in the last half.
It's terrible.
Such a great Peter Dinklage scene in it. Though.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's see if we can get what's the guy's name.
Call me NL one more time.
Khan. What's his name?
James Khan.
James. Let's see if we can get James Khan to soften up and change his ways.
Well, come on.
There's a scene in the film. There's a lot of it was ad-libbed. And when Buddy is getting his finger pricked by Jon Favreau and the doctor, if you watch closely the reaction of Khan, he starts laughing because he didn't know Will Ferrell was going to do it. It's now every time I watch the film, it cracks me up.
Well, those are I like those early bits. That stuff's great. All that kind of discovery stuff, all that stuff's good. It only starts to get dumb when the race is on to save Christmas.
No,
it's like, come on, guys.
You're silly.
It quits being funny. But
no, it's not.
Whatever.
It's awesome.
Zooey Deschanel's hot, and that's I like that.
You're wrong on every count.
Oh.
Thank you, Brian.
But I got a lot of support out there. A lot of Twitter people are like, yes, someone finally said it out loud. Elf is not a very good movie. So you guys.
They're just trying to win your good graces.
It's a culture war. We're in the middle of a culture war here. All right. Sorry. You were saying I interrupted.
Well, I was going to say, since Brian's starting to do some holiday music covers, he has to play something from the Bare Naked for the Holidays.
Oh, album. Yeah. That's a great album. Yeah.
That is the best holiday. And I say holiday because it's Christmas songs and it's
Hanukkah
songs. I sing Hanukkah songs. I'm not Jewish, but I love the Hanukkah songs.
Give me a Hanukkah song. Is it that dreidel song? What else?
They do dreidel. They do Hanukkah blessing. Is Elf Lament, is that their own song? Because
know.
That is...
I think so. Yeah, yeah.
It is a great, funny song. It's from the elf's perspective, complaining about all the crap they have to build and the kids don't want it. It's
and
really
has,
funny.
Michael
Bublé.
Michael Bublé. Michelle Bublé on it.
Michelle Bublé.
Michelle Bublé.
Michelle Bublé, yeah.
So, Hanukkah, they sing that one.
Right. I have Rudolph a little dreidel, a sleigh ride.
It's just a great...
They do a cover of Do They Know It's Christmas. Yeah, that is a good one. Except they do that horrible Paul McCartney song.
Which one?
Which is horrible anytime anybody does it.
Which one?
Wonderful Christmas
Time. Oh, I hate it.
It's the worst Christmas song ever created.
Well, that and the David Bowie Bing Crosby one's pretty bad.
No.
Yeah,
can't even
bad.
Hold the candle.
It's not bad.
It's terrible.
Are you talking about Old Drummer or the Drummer Boy?
Little Drummer Boy, yes. Yeah. With Bing Crosby and David Bowie, yes.
What's wrong
tell
with
Scotty's
that?
Wrong.
It's
tell
the
Scotty's
worst
wrong.
Song at Christmas. It's terribly done. It's
no,
awful.
It's
the
not.
Arrangement is terrible.
It's
really?
Not that.
You got Bing Crosby going, and then you got him going,
He's
on earth.
I don't mind it.
My little China girls, but
somebody,
it may as well.
Somebody requested we're going to put it on. We're going to play it between now and Christmas here on TMS.
I'll bet if you ask his son, filmmaker, what's his beak? Can't think of his name all of a sudden. Jones, Duncan Jones. Hmm? That's probably his most embarrassing thing about his dad, is that terrible Christmas song. I'll bet you money.
I think he could say a lot of more embarrassing things. Dancing in the Streets with Mick Jagger right there.
That was pretty bad.
Yeah. That was pretty bad.
Okay, fair enough.
You
win. Yes.
All right.
Back
so you want
point.
Me to recommend some movies?
Yes, please.
Okay. I just want to say Netflix has really been sucking lately. I don't know what it is. Like, they've lost a bunch of licenses, I'm guessing. I don't know. But the only thing I dug up from Netflix is the fact that American Horror Story Season 2 finally is streaming.
Ooh, Brian does not like that season.
Yeah, I didn't care much for that one. That was The Asylum, right?
That was The Asylum.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about it, Brian. I think I know because I was kind of – I'm in the same boat, but I'm going to rewatch
tell
it.
Tell me why I should like that.
Yeah, why
well,
should I like
no,
that?
Well, no, why you didn't like it. I think it's too real. Like a lot of those stories –
Yeah, there wasn't as much supernatural stuff in there. There was a little bit with the whole –
uncomfortable. It's a very uncomfortable season.
Mm, I don't like uncomfortable seasons. Thanks.
Yeah, but the current one does have a lot more of that kind of weird supernaturally kind of stuff, and I'm liking this one a lot better. So
I love season three.
You know what? I think you're onto something with that.
But I am gonna. I think I got up to episode 6 in season 2, and I'm glad they started streaming because I want to go back to it and watch it all the way through. And because I think from what I've, like, my brother-in-law, he loves it. He loved the second season, so I'm hoping it got better.
Yeah.
So. Okay. I don't know. People, there you go.
People love that third one, though, don't they?
Oh my gosh, I love the third one.
People are raving about that.
I love it so much.
Just as a side note, speaking of Netflix, I started, and I'm going to call it a miniseries because that's what I feel like I have to do to watch it, but it's really just a movie. I started watching the Redux 2000, the 2000 redo, or basically director's cut re-release of Apocalypse Now, which is
nice, man, light film.
That movie's so good, though. It's such a good movie. That movie looks like it was filmed yesterday. I mean, that's how, if you look at it, honestly, you know the actors are old now, and you see people, Martin Sheen, and you go, wow, he's sure young in this. But if you can take that out of the equation.
Oh, it's streaming, too.
Yeah, it is. And that movie, yeah, that's where I saw it. And that movie just looks incredible. It holds up incredibly well visually. It looks like it was just made. But anyway, you got to watch it in chunks because that thing's like 3 hours and 14 minutes.
I just added it to my list.
I love it. Easily one of the best movies ever made ever. So anyway, sorry. Go ahead. Go on.
No. So the rest of them, rest of the films that I have are all on Amazon Prime. I really, like I said, I know that there's like Apocalypse Now on Netflix and good films like that, but I don't know. It seems like they're just running out of stuff. Like the new stuff that's coming out is just crap.
Right.
You feel like the original programming thing has distracted them from shoring up the licensed stuff, maybe?
Oh, maybe.
I don't know, but I do feel like there's a switch, like a balance of like good stuff happening, more moving over to Netflix Prime.
Amazon Prime.
Netflix Prime.
Like, tell us about this new service.
Netflix Prime.
Sounds fantastic.
I don't know.
There's a lot of new TV content that's great on Netflix. Mm-hmm. Like the TV stuff has really beefed up lately, but I agree with you that the movie stuff has been lacking. Not nearly as many cool documentaries coming out. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe everything has come out that's ever going to come out, or I don't know, but Netflix seems to be a little bit behind on that. I mean, there's some stuff on here I've been dying to see that I've always wanted to see, like Zodiac, which I never saw, the Fincher movie. Downfall, the Hitler one that everyone always memes. There's a bunch of these that I've never seen that are on there, but I feel like it's like, I don't know, I feel like it's a very small group of really great movies, and then what are you left with?
Like remakes of movies that are popular. Like I see that a lot on Netflix, like a B, C version of a movie that is, you know, Transformers is out in the theaters, and they have a knockoff.
Transmorphers, I think it's called.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
But like, I mean, there's a bunch of good stuff like The Untouchables, Jackie Brown, Glengarry Glen Ross. I've been hearing good things about Empire State. I love Brick. Capote's great. I mean, they're good movies on Netflix. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. It's just, I don't know. I feel like the flow is slowed.
Ebbing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the flow is ebbing. There you go.
Yeah, that's kind of how I'm feeling too.
Yeah.
So I decided one of the things that's interesting to me about every holiday season is how there's at least one scary horror film that's released around the holidays. And I see this every year. And it's almost like a tradition for people to do scary films around Christmas. Mm. Have you noticed this?
Yeah, I have noticed that. Why is that? What's the deal with that?
Maybe it's just the anti love, joy, and cheer. I don't know. But it's just, I think maybe some people just get so like, I need something scary. I don't know. But I'd be interested talking to someone that really, instead of Halloween, they enjoy the scary films at Christmas time.
Yeah.
So it's like the opposite, I'm thinking.
It's a little weird.
So I got some, they're not necessarily horror films. Well, they're scarier, I guess. But they're more fantasy type of films. So the first one I have for you is the 1987 film, The Witches of Eastwick.
Oh, yeah.
Jack Nicholson is amazing in this movie. I love him. It's like the role, if I think of I know One Flew Over's Cuckoo's Nest is very iconic for him. But this film kind of, I think, touches on more of his real personality. So he plays the Mr. Right character, comes into this town and cultivates three witches Cher, Susan Sarandon, and Michelle Pfeiffer.
Actual witches all, by the way, in real life. So it's a very authentic portrayal.
Right.
Uh-huh. Especially
Buxley
Cher.
Buxley hated this movie. I loved it.
It's good. I think it's great. There's nothing wrong with this movie. They tried to make a TV spinoff. Did you ever see that? It came out just a few years ago.
Really?
It wasn't very good. And it didn't last very long. But my wife and I tried.
Are you sure it wasn't this year?
Nope.
On Lifetime?
Nope. It was older. A couple of years, I want to say. And it was called, here, I'll find it. Witches of Eastwick TV. Here it is. Oh, it was 2005 is how old it was. Yeah, that was back in 05. Hmm. Wait, is that right?
No, because there's a Witches of, it's Witches of East End on Lifetime.
Oh, what the hell is that?
That's a new show.
That's them.
Lifetime.
Completely unrelated, I think.
I swear I know there was a show because I watched this thing. Oh, here it is. 2009, I'm sorry. TV series, The Witches of Eastwick. Mysterious man bestows unique powers to three women. It's the same story, just retold with a TV. And then it was just episodic, and it didn't work very well. It was all right. It wasn't terrible. It wasn't the worst thing I'd ever seen, but it was not great. I mean, IMDb gave it like 6.2 out of 10. That's about right.
Where was this? Which channel was this on?
I don't know who aired it originally. It doesn't say.
It wasn't Lifetime.
No. It was like a straight up, like major network, but I don't remember who did it. They didn't give it very long. I want to say it wasn't even a full season maybe, but where is it? I don't see it. Bonanza Productions. Oh, it was on the WB. It was a CW or whatever. Oh,
well, that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, and everyone was pretty, by the way. I don't know if that comes as a shock to you or not, but
they didn't look like Jack Nicholson.
No, they did not. But there were some familiar people on there, like, I don't know, Lindsay Price. Rebecca Romaine Stamos was in it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she didn't turn blue, though, or any of that cool stuff, but she was in there.
Anyway.
She was no X-Man. All right. There's your number. Was that your number two?
I don't know. I guess I'll count American Horror Story as my number one.
All right.
So we got weird alien stuff on that one, witches on this one, and we'll do vampires on the next one. The 1994 film Interview with a Vampire is streaming on Amazon Prime.
Wow.
I was laying on the couch sick and caught, halfway, flipping through the channels. I was like, dang, I forgot how good this movie is.
Yeah. By the way, there are two alternatives on Netflix. So you can only get it on Blu-ray for Interview with a Vampire. But if you'd like, you can stream Interview with a Hitman or Interview with an Assassin.
What? On Netflix?
Yeah, those are not good alternatives. So
lots of interview movies.
Yeah, that's great. So how's that hold up? How's that movie?
It holds up. I think it holds up great. I don't know. Brad Pitt has kind of gone out of the spotlight a bit. I mean, yes, he comes in. But to me, this is like along with Cruise. I don't know. Those two together, I thought they were really great. And I forgot about Antonio Banderas in it Kirsten Stewart.
Kirsten Dunst.
Kirsten Stewart.
Kirsten Stewart. Ooh, there's a combo I don't want.
Oh, no.
Snaggletooth Twilight Girl. Ooh. That's cool. Kirsten Dunst, this was like when she was a little kid.
Yeah. And Kristen Slater's in it.
Mm. The interviewer of the vampire? That was him?
Greetings and salutations.
How's it going? Okay, great. I like him. I make fun of Kristen Slater, but I actually really like him and everything he's in.
So yeah, I thought it was cool that you were streaming this over on Amazon Prime.
That's great. Amazon Prime kicking it off, man.
They're also streaming Scrooged.
Are they?
Bill Murray.
Great.
Good one to watch in this season.
That's the thing I've noticed. Okay, so if you ask me what the big deficit on Netflix is that when seasonal holiday stuff rolls around, they are not good on that. They don't have a big selection of Christmas movies. Mm-hmm. There's, Nightmare Before Christmas and a few other kind of standards, but there's no like big selection of Christmas films. And they should have a big section up there. It should say Christmas holiday watching, because this is what happens. People like Nicole and me and Brian are all into like this tradition of watching, as bad as Elf may be, watching Elf or whatever, and
Jingle All the Way.
Two-thirds of us like Elf, by the way.
Jingle All the Way is on here, by the way.
I know.
I don't remember that being very good.
It's not that great.
No.
Yeah.
I'm kind of joking.
Somebody somewhere thinks that's a great movie. It isn't me, but someone does.
Sinbad fans out there, sure.
Yeah. And isn't that movie, that whole movie is just about him
trying to find a toy for
him
his
and,
son.
Him and Sinbad trying to kill
that's
each
right,
other trying to get a
superhero toy, and he ends up dressing like him. Mm-hmm. Oh my god!
You know who his son is in that film, right? Oh, Anakin Skywalker.
Oh, really? Is it Jake Lloyd?
No,
The little kid.
Oh, the little kid, Jake Lloyd? No, he wouldn't have been born in 96. Would he have been? Or I guess he would have. That was 99 when that came out. All right, I'll believe you.
Jingle. Yeah, Jake Lloyd isn't
it? All the way. Here, let's see.
It's Netflix streaming and Amazon Prime.
Oh, that is that kid. I hate that kid.
The first scene is a painful scene to watch. It's Arnold Schwarzenegger missing his karate whatever, and like the interaction between them is just horrible.
I am not interested in watching this. Oh,
good people in the chat room are saying Sack It. That's actually a probably good sackable movie.
Ooh, Phil Hartman's in that. Phil Hartman, Rita Wilson, Robert Conrad, geez. Martin Mull, Jake Lloyd, there he is, James Belushi, Lorraine Newman, Harvey Korman, Richard James Mull. Belushi. They got Martin Mull and Richard Mull? What the hell?
Mull and...
oh, that's great. All right, maybe I have to watch it again. There you go. Jingle all the way on Netflix.
It's horrible. The beginning of it is horrible.
Well, all of that's good and well, and we appreciate you coming and doing this, but I have one question for you before we cut you loose, and that is this. Is there a holiday movie you're looking to forward to more between now and Christmas than any other film?
I haven't already watched?
Yeah, like a new one in the theater.
Like something brand new as opposed to...
Well, I do want to see Frozen.
I hear that's great.
I hear it is. I hear it's really great, too.
I'm also hearing raves about Desolation of Smog, the new Hobbit film.
Yeah, we're going to definitely see that. I was thinking you meant like actual Christmas film.
No, I mean like between now and then, like what's the one you want to go to the theater with Mark and when you're done yakking and see a fantastic movie?
Definitely the second Hobbit is on our list. There's another one and I put it on my wish list on Flixster so I wouldn't forget it. Her.
Yeah. Yes. They're getting raves. People are digging it.
Oh, I can't wait to watch that one.
Spike Lee joint. Or no, Spike Jones. Sorry. It's not Spike Lee. Nobody get confused about who Spike Lee and Spike Jones are. That movie looks great. It looks really interesting. It's the Siri movie, basically, is what it is.
Yep.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Scarlett Johansson.
And Hairlip McGillicuddy over there. He's in it.
If you watch him in Space Camp, he didn't have the hair lip.
Oh, he's got a hair lip, all right.
Right, but he had an accident.
No, he was born with it.
No, he wasn't.
He was. I think he was born with that hair lip.
Why wasn't it in Space Camp?
What's Space Camp? What is Space Camp?
That's one of his first movies.
Yeah, a bunch of kids go to NASA and go through the training program.
Let's see.
It's a scar.
I think it's not a scar, is it?
I think it is a scar.
I'm looking. Is it a scar? Hold on. Scar.
I can see a picture right now when he's a kid and he doesn't have it.
Oh, here we go. Contrary to popular belief, I'm about to be schooled here. The scar on his lip is not the result of a repaired cleft lip or palate. It is simply a birthmark. Oh, but it's still a birthmark. No injury. Phoenix has stated in interviews that while pregnant with him, his mother felt a sharp pain one day, and he was born with a mark on his lip. That was the story in the family. It's a birthmark.
That's
it's a birthy hoo-ha. My daughter has this on the center of the back of her head. She has one of these things. It's like a big fleshy weird thing.
I have a birthmark in my hair.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it bald there?
No, it's pure blonde.
My daughter is a little bald, rumply spot on the back of her head. Their hair covers up just fine, but if you mess around,
so
in
not
there,
just a not just a dark a dark patch, but like an actual
looks like a little alien moon surface. That's really weird.
Not a tumor.
It's not a tumor.
It's not a tumor.
It's definitely not. They've checked it. They always check it. And every time she gets a new doctor, they're like, "Now what is this?" And we're like, "Oh, it's a thing." And they check it again, and it's never anything. So, I forgot Harrison Ford was in Apocalypse Now. By the way, just to throw that out there,
really young Harrison,
very
Ford
young. Line. Very hot. Ooh. Anyway, I don't have the hots for Harrison Ford. Nicole, always a pleasure. Nicole Spag on Twitter, recommendals.com. You can also find her at ladiesofelite.com. And, of course, with Brian Dunaway and myself on The Final Score.
Final Score. Giving away some games. Yeah. Got a day left.
Video games. Follow that show at TFS Show on Twitter. And you'll be educated as to which games are being given away. Nicole, have a great week.
Thanks, guys.
Stay out of trouble. And hope you feel better. That sucks.
I'm trying.
All right. Bye now.
Bye.
Bye now. Bye now. Okay.
All right.
Tom Merritt, you think?
Yeah, of course I think.
You're all right with that?
Hell yes.
I feel like there's no problem with that. I feel like that's a good thing.
With the computer, as with any tool.
Not a bad idea.
The concept and direction must come from the man.
Way-ho! It's Tom Merritt, everybody. Hi, Tom.
Well, hello, my future co-host of Current Geek, Scott Johnson.
Hey, that sounds like a great idea. And Skype didn't kill you today, which is also nice. How's that working out for us?
Or did give it time.
Oh, there he goes, dude.
And I'm back.
And he's back. What the heck is that? That is so weird. We'll look forward to doing that when we launch that show.
Yeah, just right. Always call me a couple minutes early for
that. Yeah, every week we'll have to go through that. Well, that's great. Tom, welcome back. People are very excited about this prospect. I am as well. And
hell,
I'm
excited
to have Brian Ibbett on as a regular guest and other folks around the network.
More of an irregular guest.
Irregular guest, right?
Yeah, not enough fiber in my diet to be a regular guest.
That's a good point.
We find you at Ross Guest for Less.
That's right. Right next to the habanero ketchup and the seasonal
irregular Tommy Hilfiger's.
Is it bad that I like that place and their weird food they put in there, Brian? Like, no, you just mentioned?
No, there's anything. The habanero ketchup, I still use that. We've got a bottle of that in the fridge, and it's fantastic.
I get a lot of heat from people that I shouldn't be eating things I got at Ross or at Ross, TJ Maxx or something.
It's not.
Do you love
Ross?
It? No, I ate it at Ross.
Right, but I don't know. There's fridges full of those things, and I'm always the one that wants them. You know, I just think, ooh, look at this strange $3 confection that came from some far off land I've never heard of. And
I don't have that with Ross, but I definitely have it with the food at IKEA.
Mm. Oh, similar vibe.
It's the same kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. It's like Swedish.
The stuff you get from the diner or the stuff you get from the food selling place?
All I was thinking more of the food selling place because of the weird off the shelf kind of like, ooh, look at these fish. Yeah. But I also, the diner too, you're right. A bit like getting the meatballs. Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah, they're good, right? Nothing wrong with any of that.
I don't know if I like the liberal use of the letter A that they have there, but
they just throw them in.
It's a bit much, isn't it?
Hey, a little life hack for IKEA. If you go and get the meatballs, you can ask them to put macaroni and cheese instead of fries.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's the same price.
That sounds all right and better for you, better for you. But
yeah. I don't know if it's actually – might be.
Maybe a little bit worse for you. Who knows? But, next time you're in IKEA, check it out. I just put something together from there and always shocked at how easily I'm able to assemble something from IKEA. It seems like I struggle with anything else if it isn't IKEA. If it's not IKEA and there's not that weird Swedish art on there telling me where I should be at any given stage of the assembly, I'm screwed.
That's your Swedish heritage. Yeah. It speaks right to it.
Right. My white skin and my,
Scott Janssen.
My ability to put together TV stands. All right. So, Tom, let's get to it. We do, and by the way, Current Geek, one thing we're excited about is it'll be a lot more tech heavy, which I'm really excited about because this network just doesn't have enough tech in it.
Well, and I pointed this out on TomMerritt.com when we made the announcement of the show packs yesterday, is that when we launched Current Geek the first time around, I was still working at CNET. I was restricted from doing any tech in it.
Yep.
So we kind of designed the show to not have any tech. Now we can go the opposite
way. We can go whole the other way as much as we want.
All the time.
You know, it'll probably – the nice thing about it is it will not be that stringent on the other side either. It's going to be a very open sort of – kind of format where we'll have topics and stuff to hit, but we want to be encouraged to let loose the dogs of war, as it were.
And if that's the case,
yeah.
I mean, I'm just making this up right now. I'm pulling a Johnson. this segment could be technically called Current Geek again.
Yeah. Like it was for a while there. Remember that? That was the thing we did. And for sure, like one way or the t'other. By the way, that's a good point to make. Tom's not his time on TMS on Wednesdays is not going away.
Oh heck, no!
No. He'll be here for that. But yeah, we'll
see.
If
things work out, this will be the first thing I do when I get up in the morning.
Oh, good, fantastic! That sounds good to me.
I don't know if that's going to be true or not. Probably won't.
So let's find out from you guys or from you, Tom. What is the big hot tech story of the day? What are people? What are on their minds? What are on their lips and their hearts as this Wednesday gets rolling?
Mr. Ibbett, Mr. Johnson, have you guys noticed that your Twitter app updated?
Yes, I did notice that.
Android and iOS both.
Yeah. What was that about? I mean, I use Tweetbot on there, but I noticed the desktop stuff had some stuff and the website changed. So what happened?
They added stuff in. Basically, the big thing they added was direct messaging is now more prominent. Which I always found it a little weird that they buried it so deeply. Like, you have this feature and people use it a lot and you just make it really hard. So they're like front and center, direct message. And they added the ability to send and receive photos in direct message, which you couldn't do before.
No, that's true. Oftentimes I would be having a conversation with somebody and they needed, I mean, I was using it kind of as a replacement for email for a quick thing. And part of that conversation was I need them to see this thing I'm working on, this piece of art or whatever. And it wouldn't let me send it. And that's annoying. I don't know why that was ever an issue before, but apparently they've scrubbed that problem. And I guess, you know what my guess is the TwitPic stuff was probably public regardless. And they didn't want people accidentally sending some private thing that they thought was going to be private and have it end up being public on the TwitPic.com site or some one of these other services or something. So it makes sense.
That could be. Actually, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that really was the reason or not, but everybody's going. Nah, I don't want to say they're going ape over this because that would be rude to apes.
Yeah.
People are getting very excited about this, though, because they think it's like, ooh, Twitter's trying to compete with Snapchat and WeChat and WhatsApp and Line and KakaoTalk. And you could just keep mentioning others all day long. But I mean, Ibit, do you think that? Do you think that you would start using Twitter as an instant messenger?
No, I can't. Because I just even personally, I tend to ignore the messages that come in there until I see, oop, and there goes my phone.
Like you'll see a little indicator.
Now I can't use anything. Great.
Now your phone's, no Twitter for you, Brian.
That's right. Tweet it right out of my hand.
I occasionally do what you're talking about, though. Like Brian, let's say Brian and I are just need a quick little something. It's usually not Brian now that I think about it, but it's a great way to do that. The problem is you're still limited at 150 or 140 characters in there, right? That's not changing. Yeah.
No,
that's right. Yeah. It's not. You can't put those long novels like I do to you, Scott.
Yeah, exactly. Those 4-part miniseries that I get.
Those short stories that I text you.
Those are fantastic. I mean, this to me seems like the continued effort of Twitter to branch out without breaking the core. Because I think that's these companies have to be careful about that. They can't just uproot everything. I feel like Facebook takes the most risks that way sometimes. And they ruffle a lot of feathers.
Man. Yeah, when they do, there's an uproar anytime that they change anything.
Yeah, people hate Facebook change. But when it comes to Twitter, you know, you need it to do that one thing really well, which is what it does now and has done since day one. And you want to add stuff to that, but you got to be careful so that you're not disrupting the flow of how people use the service and everything else. So these are interesting baby steps to move in some of those other directions. Do you think any of this is... I don't know, indicative of... somebody was saying a new female board member exists at Twitter. I meant to read about this, but I don't know how much influence she has or who she is or where she comes from, but do you think new voices coming into the Twitter family, either via the board or otherwise, are pushing for this stuff? Or is this a we're going public thing, so we need to be pushing these things? Or where does all this come... Where does the desire to make Twitter more than Twitter even come from?
Well, I don't think it comes from a recent board appointee. Board appointees rarely have any impact on the day-to-day action of a company. And even if for some weird reason she did, I don't think it would have... This has probably had to have been in the works for a little while for the developers to make the photo thing work and redesign. So I don't think it's that. I think it's probably Twitter just making a wise move, noticing a trend, saying... Hey, you know what? We already have a messaging product. It's not going to hurt us. It's not going to cost us a lot in time to move that thing front and center because people are using it. They probably looked at their usage statistics and then see how much time it would take to add some photo in. If it doesn't take that much developer time, it's going to boost usage. It's going to keep people using Twitter. I don't think they're trying to compete necessarily head to head. I think they're trying to say, you know what, we need to make sure we don't lose traffic to the Snapchats and WeChats and WhatsApps of the world. So let's bolster that. Whereas Facebook, I get the idea that sometimes they're like, we could crush them. We must squash them under our Facebooky like blue rolling tumbler.
Either absorb or crush.
Yeah.
You're either with us or you're under us.
Yeah. One way or the other. Do you feel like does Twitter still not have like Twitter's monetization model is still VC capital and, you know, going public. I mean, is there anything that I feel like since 2007, the talk has always been, how's Twitter going to make money? How are they going to leverage their huge user base to get ads or something? But I feel like every year goes by and there's still no like normal way of making money for Twitter. It's all
they'll be investment. My guess is they'll be profitable by the end of this coming year. That's why they IPO'd. They put their stock out under the impression that they're confident that that will turn around. And they've been making more money every year. They've got a high revenue, actually. That's the weird thing. We've talked about this on Tech News Today a bunch, that Twitter makes a lot of money and we can't see it. And that's, to me, people are like, I don't understand how they're making all this money. And I'm like, no, that's what's brilliant, is they're advertising to you and you don't even notice. Ooh. And that's the way it should be.
Conspiracy.
You shouldn't be sitting there going, yeah, I see those ads all the time, because that means they're, well, it might not mean they're wasted if they're building an impression, but you want to think of Twitter as a place where the messages are appropriate. And that's the way we all think of Twitter, though advertising has not changed that.
Okay. So you're telling me that today, when I just check my stream, somewhere in there, I'm going to say, oh, I guess I did know this. They are inserting ads into your feeds. I forgot
about
that.
But you just don't think about it, because it doesn't annoy you.
That's an interesting experiment. I think they banked on.
Of course, now all of us, including everyone in the tad pool, are going to start noticing these ads, and they're going to start annoying us now that we're thinking about it.
Yeah, that's maybe true. But I don't mind it once in a while. Honestly, as a consumer, it's easy to get all riled up over nothing. Sometimes people just do that. But I, you know, for me, if I see a post for something that seems to match kind of my interests, I'm not going to freak out. I'll just pass it up. I'll go a little higher, a little further, or whatever. You know, the problem it will be is if you can tell the difference between those and spammers. And hopefully we can get to the point where we can. My favorite spammer are people that only let their profile photo load about halfway, so you can always tell that was just some dumb bot or some idiot guy in China that did that wrong. I love those. Those are my favorite.
You're right.
Yeah. Well, awesome. More tech just like this on today's Tech News Today.
Absolutely. And if folks want to follow what I'm up to, if you're like, wait a minute, Kirk, he's coming back. I hadn't heard that yet. Well, by golly, go to TomMerritt.com or follow me on Twitter. I'll be putting out updates as I know more about what I'll be doing in the coming year. And there will definitely be two more shows that I will announce.
And one of them will be, and you don't want to say yet, do you?
One of them will be daily, and one of them will be with Brian Brushman.
Fair enough.
How's that?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good hint. And I think people can probably do the math and figure out the Brushwood thing, and the daily thing just makes sense. And then Current Geek is amazing. So all of these things together will make Tom the most important man on the internet.
Oh, geez, no.
Watch for that. Ace Detect on Twitter, TomMerritt.com. Oh, gosh, so many other things. CurrentGeek.com, you can go there now.
Oh, yeah, don't forget that.
Support the show. Subscribe to the feed, which will be updated soon.
And, of course, a new episode of Sword and Laser is up at SwordandLaser.com. And I want people to know, I want people to be reassured that even though Sword and Laser is now distributed on the Boing Boing Network, we are still Frog Pants Studios.
Yeah.
Frog Pants Studios proud.
Can't forget your roots.
Yeah.
Well, technically your roots are before me, but yes. I guess so. We
can't forget the thing right above your roots.
We are both thrilled to be affiliated still, and also thrilled that distribution and channel opened up. That's freaking awesome. Boing Boing's amazing. And by the way, folks, this is the model for new media. Don't get all weird and hoardy. Like, get excited about when your cool friends are doing awesome work. And,
but I'm for the horde.
Yeah, you're for the horde, not against it. For the horde.
Side.
Hold on, now you're going to make me play it.
Horde side.
Oh, we're going to miss Greg. Here's Tom.
Horde side.
There you go. There's Tom. Tom, have a fantastic day. We'll catch you next time.
Thanks, y'all.
Bye now.
See you.
Bye now.
See ya. Remove from group. Why won't that work? Okay. Great. Ladies and gentlemen, we have with us in the office, in the studio, which is not the final studio, but a boring facsimile thereof, soon to be another one.
It's the pre-studio.
Pre-studio, that's right.
We have with us the ladies of Geek Food, Kim and Sarah. Hi, guys.
Ooh, hi. It's good to be here.
How are you?
You guys can hear me, like, fine?
Yes.
You didn't have to go and, like, you know, pull wires and do a whole Lily Tomlin operator.
We didn't get to hear all that.
Amazingly, no.
Scott has hooked us up, man. I have got it all gone, all working.
Oh, now I hear the echo, though.
There's going to be a little bit. Because you're going to hear me. So if I talk like this, you hear me on both mics.
Yes. Yeah.
It's because that like mic that. Over there is not very good at sound isolation. Gotcha. I got to get a better one. But for now, this will do just fine. Mm-hmm. They're sitting over there like the pointer. They look like the Pointer Sisters, ready to sing backup on
Let's
some song.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
It's a little bit weird.
I got to carol last night. I'm already got my
Did you go caroling?
Song. Yeah.
Oh, that's fun.
No,
and cold.
It wasn't.
Okay, it
wasn't.
So it wasn't
flipping cold.
Yeah. It's really cold here.
Couldn't feel my legs, anything by the end.
It's like 9 degrees outside or something, isn't it?
Yeah, it was. Cold.
It's miserable.
So Kim, have you made Scott some quinoa? Recently?
Yes, he has had quinoa.
I didn't know it.
Apparently.
I didn't know it. I thought I had birdseed or something.
It's a mixture. It kind of looks like cooked birdseed. It does.
Well, what is the why? What are the advantages of quinoa versus like any other kind of grain? Like, why not just rice?
Well, like a lot of grains, they all have different kinds of vitamins and textures, stuff that you're getting out of them, and textures. Yeah, yeah, you could cook them in different things.
Is quinoa flavored differently than, say, would I know the difference between a mouthful of rice and a mouthful of quinoa?
Probably. If you had them separately, you would. There's a different, little bit of different texture.
I think couscous and quinoa, for me, I think are closer.
A little bit. Yeah, a little round, yeah.
Like, I still think couscous
kind of reminds more of a pasta, almost like a pasta rice.
But where does couscous come from? You grow it like a grain.
I believe so.
So big waving fields of couscous.
Yeah, whenever you did have it, though, I cooked it in the rice cooker. Yeah. So it was cooked with chicken broth and things like that. So I flavored it before. So, I mean, I guess it depends on how you
flavor it. Oh, I really like
that,
by the way, as a recommendation. If you're making even just rice, straight up rice, instead of just all water in there, you cook that up in like beef or chicken broth.
Mm-hmm, right. Mm-hmm.
It's like your own Rice-A-Roni factory, Brian. Like you get the real, flavor, like better flavor than you would just with
water. Well, you can control the salt, and you're not having 80% of your salt in one serving.
That's a good point.
Yeah, no kidding.
Right. I do hate rice with little salt. I hate that.
Yeah.
I can't deal with that. That's like it has the taste of I don't know, like wood.
Well, you wouldn't eat it plain usually, mm-hmm.
Right?
Anyway.
You're usually eating it with something like last night's steak stew.
Yeah,
Scott
that
called
was
it.
Really.
I
amazing.
Really do have to take a picture of your. You guys look like backup singers for a band. Hold on, I got to do this real fast. You ready? Okay, here we go. Excellent. I'll put that up on the internet.
That was lovely. Thank you for that.
No problem. That's what we do. So I understand tonight we're eating breakfast for dinner. Do you want to explain yourselves? What's the plan with that?
Yeah, we're working on breakfast casseroles, trying to come up with the perfect Christmas morning one.
Christmas morning casserole.
Yes.
This is kind of a this is a thing, Brian, we've done. I feel like my mom did it too.
Mm-hmm. She did.
For a long, long time. And my recollection, correct me if I'm wrong, was always very egg-based. Mm-hmm. So the eggs seem to hold it all together.
Sure. Right.
Yeah, that's got to be your base for
and
sure.
Then you have like little veggie things in it and like chunks of stuff and like potatoey things.
Yes.
What would be the big difference between that and a quiche? Like, wouldn't a casserole just be like a big, thick?
Really,
baked?
It kind of is.
Yeah.
A lot of times a quiche is in a crust, like an actual pie crust. Right. Sometimes that's the difference. And you can make them a little bit heartier or I don't know. You can make it more of a dinner feel to it.
So instead of having, a quiche having a crust like it does, like a pie, really. I don't like quiche. You know that.
I know. I do.
And not
I
all
do
quiche
that.
Does have.
But I like breakfast.
You're still a real
you
man,
call
Scott.
It, just because you call it lady food.
Right. It is lady food. But like a big casserole, I like a big breakfast casserole because I feel like I'm getting, I don't know, like it's a.
It's heartier. It's
a lot
it's
of variety
heartier.
Of food in one serving. Like
but
one
do you
meal.
Do you guys feel like it's just kind of a modern version where we get all dainty about it? But back in the day, this is what like raw pioneer people did. They just said, give us a huge pan and we're putting everything we have in it.
Oh, that probably. Would be more Mountain Man breakfast they were having.
That sounds pretty good right now, actually. Mountain
so
Man breakfast.
So other versions of this are things like quiche. And if you've heard of a breakfast strata, it's the same kind of thing. It's an egg-based.
Breakfast strata.
It usually has.
Is that one? That was chips.
Not Eric's strata.
Yes, that's what they used to eat.
On chips, it was the early morning chips episode. They'd report to the captain and then go solve crime. That's great. So.
But you can go like a sweet one. You can have like a French toast kind of base where you put bread and a lot of. Cinnamon and sugars and
See,
things
that's
like that.
What I remember growing up was a lot of bread.
A savory.
Yes.
Yes. And I made
normal?
That one the other day.
Yeah.
The one your mom makes.
Yeah.
And
what'd you think?
I liked it okay. To me, it didn't have enough stuff in it.
Too much bread.
Yeah.
Too much bread. Yeah. So it soaked up all the eggs and then it just feels kind of heavy.
It's like a bread pudding.
So today I made one without the bread. I put in like grilled potatoes that have onions and peppers and
mushrooms
for you on
oh,
your
that
side.
Sounds so good.
Kale.
Wait,
egg.
Just for me? Nobody else wants them?
Not
you don't like them either?
I love them. Oh. Not in your family.
No, no one here likes them. I don't know
you
what to
have a third of it. Nick and I have the middle, and then Carter has
one without any
inside.
Ham.
Right. Yeah. Just slip a little piece in there. Should be fine.
It'll probably fall in. It was hard getting it over here without it slosh. It wasn't cooked yet. So
it was sloshing. Oh, yeah.
Sloshing
that's the other thing is it's just before you cook it, it's just a big pan of goo.
Yeah.
And then I remember as a kid, that would always spill.
Yeah.
There'd
oh,
be a big
gosh.
Blurp on the counter. It looked like somebody yacked.
We did. Yeah, I already cleaned that up.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
There were a few of those.
So, all right. Well, I'm excited about it. And is it a recipe people will be able to get access to when you guys have it done?
I just made it up this morning, so I'll write it down somewhere. Okay. If we like it.
Let's put it on the blog.
Put a little sour cream in the eggs. Make them all creamy. So
that sounds
good. I'm curious to see how it turns out.
Creamy eggs.
Mm. Yeah.
Creamy Eggs was my wrestling name in high school.
You sound like Steve. He has a lot of wrestling names.
Yeah, I'm sure he does.
Yeah.
So here's the question. Speaking of Steve, He's the mastermind of the new studio, which we've told everybody on the air about and all that.
Oh, it's turning out so fun.
Does he like when you guys experiment with the food? Because I do.
Most of the time.
Okay. Has he ever like turned up his nose and said,
"That's not my favorite."
Really?
He's very honest, but
give me an example. What was bad?
I was worried about the steak stew last night. I was worried.
He loved the steak stew.
Oh, the steak stew was amazing.
Wasn't tender enough, but it kind of.
No, it was great.
I can't even think of it. It's been a while. It's been a long time. That was hella good.
Brian, this had like big chunks of steak in it.
Oh,
it was
sounds awesome.
Potatoes. Oh my gosh, I was dying. That was so fantastic. I didn't like the rice as much.
We'll have to ask Steve what he didn't like.
Or was that quinoa?
The last time.
Was that some quinoa I had?
No, it was brown rice.
Okay, fine.
Well, it had black, brown, and
it was a wild
white
rice
in it.
Yeah.
Wild rice.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
it was a wild rice.
Now, actually,
wild and
we had to go out and kill it.
The San Francisco treat rice that you can get. You don't want that, right?
Rice-a-roni?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, by the way,
he's got so much salt.
Props to Steve. So he forgot, or you guys forgot to exchange rice last night.
Yeah.
So Steve came out to the house. They only live up the street now, kind of maybe, I don't know what, 2 miles or something,
yeah,
3 miles.
That. So nice.
Comes over to pick up the rice, and I'm away in the kitchen. And I'm not even seeing Steve, but he opens the door and says, do you have the rice to put in the thing? Like after that quote, that dude. Where is that? Do I have that? I have that somewhere. Oh, here it is. This guy right here. Rice. Oh, this is a different quote.
There's different flavors that you can get.
But I yelled that back to him, and he totally got it. So Steve's a TMS listener.
Oh, man.
What was the other thing I was just going to say? Crap. Put it on the blog. Then people will be able to find it. They can go to frogpants.com/geekfood, right?
Yes. Once we perfect the recipe, we're working on it.
Fair
Which
enough.
Which one? The eggs? The
Your
breakfast
weird breakfast
special.
Business. Yeah. Don't put
we
any
want to make
on
sure
it.
We like it.
Okay.
I didn't see one with kale, but I put kale because I wanted to try it.
Quinoa sounds like a character name in like a Nickelodeon multiracial sitcom in the 90s.
That's so true.
A Miyazaki film.
Yeah, or a Miyazaki film.
Quinoa's moving castle.
Quinoa and the floating duck or something. Exactly.
Fun.
So there you go. Geek Food on Twitter. The Geek Food on Twitter. Mm-hmm. I always get it mixed up.
The Geek Food on Twitter.
Because some other person is squatting
Instagram,
on that.
Yes.
Okay. Instagram, it's both Geek Food and The Geek Food. You get both girls there.
Both of us.
What else? Is there anything else?
That's it. That's
today's one of those days I can't think.
Bring me some breakfast casserole.
will do.
That's awesome. Strata. Thank you, ladies. Again, it's Geek Food over at frogpants.com/geekfood. Look for it, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
Thanks. Have a great week.
Bye now.
See ya.
Look, that was a button push. They're off. That's it.
Wow. They're ejected from the basement.
They're ejected from the basement. Boing. They're out. All right. Fantastic. I heard you guys were going to do yoga in here while I was recording. You were going to, but now you're not.
That wouldn't be distracting.
Also, what was it like hearing your own voices? I forgot to ask. Is it weird? Oh, you couldn't hear yourself? Oh, shite. Okay, I'll fix that next time. Yeah, we can hear you. All right. Dang it. I thought I had it all working. Oh, well. All right, Brian, let's close things out with some emails.
Okay.
They're brought to us by...
Brought to you by Coverville with a functioning treadmill now. Yay!
Woo-hoo!
Replaced a. I went to Radio Shack and bought a multimeter.
Oh yeah,
one of those things that checks voltage. And I just went around the board and figured out. All right, so if I take the 2 leads from the motor, plug them into my battery from my cordless drill, it runs.
Oh,
so I
wow.
know that the motor works. And so I just went around the board and figured out that it's this little fuse right here that I'm holding up, a little ceramic fuse that somehow was causing the problem.
That's awesome.
And because it's ceramic, you can't see through it, so you can't see if like the little lead is broken inside it.
Wow,
they're opaque. Anyway,
look at you.
So,
your stock just went up as a zombie survivor. By the way, you'll be more in demand than I will be.
Yes, when people need their treadmills fixed in the zombie apocalypse, then we're good.
We need a guy.
Coverville is going to feature covers by potentially birthday people. Ted Nugent having a birthday.
Oh, gosh.
The Manic Street Preachers, lead singer of the Manic Street Preachers, is going to be celebrating a birthday and much, much more. The Waterboys, Mike Scott from the Waterboys, is celebrating a birthday. So another good combination of stuff as we wrap up kind of the last regular episode of the year. The following week is going to be Christmas music.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we have the Coverville Countdown Best of 2013 right after that. So
that's great.
Make sure to visit coverville.com and cast your nominations for best cover of the year.
I just looked it up. Looks like Ted Nugent will be turning the ripe old age of Bigot 13. So, or Bigot Teen, I guess is how they would say
it. Bigoteen.
Bigoteen.
Right. Yeah, he's
a bigot.
A little bit of a problem.
Dear Pinky and the Brain, says Bob Bateman, who sent us an email. He says, yes, The Great Outdoors was iffy at best as a film, but did you see the edited version on TV? I remember a scene where everybody is calling each other a-holes, but every time they said it, they would say, blow it up your nose instead. That was dubbed in. Made for some really awkward and amusing Saturday afternoon TV. Still love the show, though, Bob. Well, thank you, Bob.
Thanks, Bob.
I don't remember that. I don't remember. I disliked the movie enough that I don't think I ever saw it on TV. I just didn't like
it. Yeah.
I tried again. Still didn't like it. Hi, Scott, says Lee in Atlanta. It's the lost city of Atlanta. I felt the same way about Arrow, he says. Seems to me it needed to play to the CW crowd, which kept I kept watching. I'm having that dissonance. Hold on a second. I have to blink. If you blink a few times, it kind of goes away.
It's your reset button.
I keep watching, and when you get halfway through the first season, it abruptly switches gears. From the Dark Archer episode on the series gives you a way more Arrow than relationship, meaning from then on it gets better. The sappy stuff still pops up now and again, but the show gets better and better. Love the show, though, Lee from Atlanta. So it sounds like they've tweaked it. I'll keep at it then. It's fine. Jeez. Finally, Andrew in California says, hey, Tidy and Whitey. Mm-hmm. Which one's which, though?
Yeah, we're...
I'll be Whitey.
We don't even need to fight over that one.
You be Tidy.
Whatever, I'll take it. Neither one is good.
Neither one is nice. The city you were talking about is pronounced... Tahunga. Remember that?
Tahunga. Yeah, we were calling it Tajunga. Tajunga man.
So it's Tahunga. Or Tahunga is how he says
Tahunga.
It. Tahunga. Yeah, Tahunga. I grew up in Sundland, Tahunga area, and winced when you mispronounced it. Love the show, though, Andrew.
Okay.
All right, great.
Thank you.
I think people wince.
Major spoilers. Steven Schleicher also corrected us on that because somehow he knew
right?
about Tahunga.
Did he have it right? I don't remember.
He did. Yeah, okay. He told us it was Tahunga.
All right. Maybe that guy shot off and he paused the podcast in disgust and said that before.
Yeah, a lot of times that'll be what happens, right? Yep. You know, people say, oh, let me get off an email and then we'll correct it 5 minutes
later in the show. Sure.
Yep.
All right. Let's get out of here. I want to thank everybody for being here. We got a show tomorrow. Should have Wendy here. A little Therapy Thursday.
Yay!
End out the week. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. It's been a couple of weeks. Frogpants.com is the website. /TMS is where you want to go. Facebook.com/TheMorningStream. And a reminder, if you go to frogpants.com/store, there are many things there. We got stocking stuffer deals right now. Still have Christmas cards up for sale. Oh gosh, this new current geek thing is there, so you can do some support levels there. It's kind of like Kickstarter without the uncertainty or 30-day window.
See, that's great.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Works out really nice if you want to
help
support us.
It'll happen either way, but you can make it even better by contributing.
Yeah, and you get stuff. It's not just money.
Yeah, you can get a signed calendar. I was looking at that. I kind of want to support it, so
yeah.
I get that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll probably just send you one.
Well, no, I can't. I want to help you guys out.
Oh, you're too nice. So you can do that, but also, that's right. And there are many other things going on. So our mug, all kinds of crap. So go there. Check it out. Frogpants.com/store. Facebook.com/TheMorningStream is where we announce new shows and things like that. So you can go check that out if you're so inclined. On email, you can email us at themorningstream@gmail.com. That's themorningstream@gmail.com. On Twitter, you can find Brian at Coverville. You can find me at Scott Johnson. And you can find the show at Morning Stream. That's it.
Okay.
We're done. Let's get the H out.
Jeez. Fine. Let's. Mm. For Pete's sake.
Sure.
Let's get a request here. This one going out to Geek Girl, Jessica, and the Tadpole. And
Jessica Hips. Whoop, whoop.
Creator of fine knitted stuff.
Yeah, she's awesome.
I didn't want to just limit it to hats. All right. Let's see here. Hi, Sam and Dean. Get it? Supernatural? Haha. Oh, I have a song request that every time I hear the song, it reminds me of the show Supernatural, which she loves. Jessica, aka Geek Girl. It's Carry On My Wayward Son, covered by a trombone quartet. So this band, let me pull it up here.
And by the way, that's the one CW show I think is great. It's really well done.
I've never seen it, but I hear a lot of good things about it.
Doesn't bog down in pretty people. It's all about the stories. It's really well done. Yeah. I like
it. Very cool. Maniacal 4 is the trombone band. And this is from their brand new album, or their album released this year, Carry On, which, of course, makes it a contender for some of the best covers of the year if you want to nominate something from here. Carry On, My Wayward Son, originally by Kansas, covered here by a trombone group, Maniacal 4, trombone quartet.
All right. So you guessed it.
Ladies, We heard you.
That's what you want. Carry on, my wayward son. We'll be back tomorrow. Brand new show. Stay tuned for that. Until then, have a fantastic day, everybody.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
You think you're smart?
I sure do.